This is an emergency transmission from deep in the heart of Texas, the U.S. resistance against a global corporate combine empowered and funded by Communist China, allied with the big mega banks that set up Communist China in 1949. The Communist Chinese have taken control of U.S. telecommunications infrastructure. The Communist Chinese have taken control of Hollywood. The Communist Chinese have taken control of the main universities. This is all confirmed. This is not a drill. Big Tech in Silicon Valley is almost completely run by the Communist Chinese government. They've officially become state-run. Apple, 100%. Google is now making the transition and announcing a merger and total worldwide censorship. They are now beta testing using me as the straw man, a demonized version of Alex Jones, to do that. This is happening. This is not like the other probes before that were meant to get you used to probes and censorship, thinking you would adapt to censorship by just putting up with it. Now this attack is thousands and thousands and thousands of times the magnitude of all previous attacks. This is a titrated dose, reverse psychological warfare operation using adapt and overcome, subversion, paradigm manipulation. In layman's terms, they are manipulating the fact that we adapt to being oppressed. We adapt to being pressed at the low dosages of oppression. Now when the megaton hits us of the total takeover, we try to adapt to the poison infusion instead of not knowing it's a lethal dose if we accept the dose. Total Internet of Things integration, global social score, complete command and control system. It is the virtual reality AI weapon system now attacking the United States with traitors inside the major security agencies. He's blocking Trump's resistance of the program and attempting to stop us from removing the tentacles of the Chi-Com / Big Tech banking combine emergency situation. I have been chosen for destruction because I brought you this information and have been battering, ramming it out as much as I can. They want to double use me as they always do in any complex system of mathematical deception, where every angle of my good is turned against us. So they take what I've said, being sincere, build me into an insincere person in the straw man. I'm a person that cares about life and children and is against these wars. And so they make me a herder of children. And then they build me into this lie to then set the distraction while they're actually censoring all of you to make a debate about Alex Jones. So even if I didn't sell out to them, they now use me as an archetype to serve them by being the main distraction. I have now been captured by the enemy in the information warfare fulcrum and is being used against you. Only your full understanding of this key will break you free from this paradigm. I have given you the transmission. Now break free.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship, and I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh. I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer in 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
this Memorial Day, honor freedom and save big at the alexjonesstore.com. Right now, get an additional 25% off already discounted products. Limited time, limited supply. Take action now.
Introducing the Gates of Hell Parasite shirt. Inspired by the tick that turned barbecue lovers into cautious vegans overnight. Alpha Gal approved. Order now before the next helicopter drop.
Introducing the new 1776 wallet from the alexjonesstore.com. Now with enough room to hold receipts from groceries that somehow cost $500.
Don't wait any longer. Go to the website now. You'll be happy you did.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Of course, support us at thealexjonesstore.com. I got too much, folks. It was a weekend plus a Monday, which means I have enough show material to last me 4.5 years, roughly. I could talk about this stuff for 4.5 years straight. Just the stuff that's broken over the weekend. There was, of course, on Friday, talk of a ceasefire with Iran that I don't think any, or, well, not even a ceasefire, an agreement, a peace deal, an end to the war, a negotiated conclusion to the conflict. Not if Israel has anything to say about it. Not if our greatest ally has anything to say about it. And they do. They have a lot to say about all of it. And they talk with bullets and bombs. When I mean they have a lot to say, I mean they've murdered a bunch of people out of sheer frustration that the war might end. So we'll get into all of that. It's kind of a weird thing. Ending the show on Friday, hearing about the peace deal, supposed peace deal. And then by Monday, it's like it never even existed. It's like a weekend fantasy that you wake up from Tuesday morning and realize, nope, it was never even remotely going to happen. 76 videos for today's show. I couldn't possibly play all. If I played, 78. And that, by the way, that doesn't include, because I'm trying to help the crew out. I get to them an hour before the show. Plenty of time, I would think. Then in the hour before the show starts, I got 4 or 5 other videos that I want to show you. So I don't know how we're going to get to all of it or even half of it. Let's just go through some of them, shall we? Because we got J.P. Sears with a new skit with Joel Webbin. Very funny about Zionism. Rage Against the War Machine was this weekend. And several of friends of the show, you could say, were there, including Rex Jones. He gave a very powerful speech, as well as Joe Kent. We've got a lot to talk about when it comes to the AI centers, including new massive centers in Georgia and Utah. I've got video after video about that. Israeli warplanes launched on May 26, a series of airstrikes in southern Lebanese village. So got lots of airstrike videos. Of course, they've started protesting, that is, blockading and waging a sort of low-level civil war against ICE in Newark, New Jersey. Lots of videos of that, of just socialist agitators with complete carte blanche to do whatever the hell they want. This is a very interesting video that we'll show you later of activists or, you know, regular people bringing water trucks to help fight fires in Georgia and basically being denied and being told that they aren't allowed to help and sent home without actually being able to help in any way. I'll show you those videos here in just a second. Again, causing people to be a little bit suspicious. I'll put that one in the data center stack because people are suspicious that the fires are being allowed to burn so that they can then scoop up the land. We've got Hassan Piker being investigated by the federal government and basically coming out and admitting everything that they're doing because they've gone a very long time without ever being punished, without ever being held to account for being literal traitors to this country. And so when he's heard he's, you know, under investigation, he's like, well, this is probably because of the Cuban Chinese money laundering I'm a part of. It's probably that. It's like, yeah, probably so. And you probably shouldn't have said that. Not money laundering necessarily, but political manipulation and foreign communist governments collaborating with people here to undermine American sovereignty. That's a crime, but they've forgotten that, so they're very open about their attempt to destroy this country. We will be joined in the third hour by Matt Baker and Luke Slywaker to talk about the very tragic and disturbing and troubling story of Kerry Sharon. He was the man whose house in San Diego is bedecked with patriotic and Trump-supporting paraphernalia, American flags, signs supporting Trump, and he was beaten severely last week and has now died from his injuries. So yet another example of leftist violence, in this case, an innocent man literally beaten to death by a schizo leftist Star Wars fan. We actually have some exclusive information on this. Matt and Luke have been in contact with the man's family, and they're going to tell you the story and give you some exclusive content that you're only going to find here. And we want to make a big deal out of this because, you know, the mainstream media, like, isn't even covering it. This is what I always mean, right? They can just bury this stuff. They'll mention it, right? They can say, oh, a man was beaten up because of a political conflict of some sort, and then they'll move on. In reality, this is the latest in a very well-established pattern now of leftists being completely insane and violent and, at this point, literally murdering innocent people for their political perspective. So, again, I don't know if excited is the right word, but I am looking forward to having Matt and Luke on to talk about that story and try to make it a bigger deal because it's ridiculous. Meanwhile, again, we've got more chaos at the, it's basically Chaz now. Basically, they've turned the ICE facility into Chaz and have taken it over and basically declared that they are not under the purview or authority of the federal government. And the federal government is basically saying, yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense. And then I've got a collection of videos, about 4,000 of them, but I've winnowed them down. I've willowed them down to just the most insane. And basically what it is it's starting to be summer-like weather in Europe. People are going to enjoy their favorite beaches and ponds to swim in, that sort of thing. And they're finding that they cannot enjoy the outdoors in their own countries because it's literally being destroyed by millions upon millions upon millions of foreigners. So, like, this is one where, like, this is not a pond you're supposed to swim in. This is not a swimming hole. This is actually a nature preserve where the delicate life cycle of water birds like swans and ducks are, you know, this place has been set aside for them to have and raise the ducklings and the goslings. And maybe the Indians just ate them. I don't know. They might have just eaten the birds. And now I guess you can swim now. I guess if all the birds have been eaten, I guess you can swim. So that's happening. Again, more stuff from just beaches in the UK, people discovering what it's like to be a minority in their own country and have their country completely overwhelmed. The population is like 80 million on this tiny little island, and they're squeezing out the locals. So again, we'll cover that quite a bit. And really, the AI story is going to be like the major one. So I'm like a quarter of the way through. These are just the videos that I have to show you. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So let's just get into it, shall we? Let's start with Iran, because regardless of what you think about the war in Iran, regardless of your opinion or your, you know, how much priority you put on the supposed goals that are being sought after through this war, no matter what your subjective perspective is on the war in Iran, you have to acknowledge it ain't going well. You have to contend with the fundamental physical reality that we basically lost as soon as the thing got started. And also, in that recognition, in that necessary acknowledgement of just how wrong all of them were about how this would go and what the effects would be and whether it was worth it or not, you have to acknowledge that people like myself and Alex Jones have been dead on the money and exactly right every step of the way including our prediction of this type of outcome from like 3 years ago. In the immediate aftermath of October 7th, it was obvious that this was a, that the attack on October 7th was a false flag. It was allowed to happen, and it was in service of a wider, greater Israel scheme, plot. I don't know what else you'd call it. Giant conspiracy to enslave the world, I guess would be one way of putting it. And it was just obvious. This was going to lead to eventually a conflict with Iran and America. And really, so far, the only thing like that hasn't come fully to fruition, although it's just that we don't have boots on the ground. We just don't have boots on the ground in Iran yet. And that is like the final line to cross. We have not crossed yet, but we'll see, because it doesn't look like it's ending anytime soon, despite the fact that apparently the Americans and the Iranians are ready to settle. It's like, isn't there somebody you forgot to ask? Isn't there somebody else that started this whole thing that isn't going to let you do that? Once again, proving Joe Kent incontrovertibly correct when he said, if we want anything like the Iran war to ever come to an end, the first thing you have to do is restrict Israel and put some hobble Israel a little bit. Stop them from acting with impunity against all of their neighbors has to be the first step before anything else can happen. But again, I don't know how many times we have to be right about literally everything. It's like exhausting at this point. And really the most exhausting thing is just saying things that are obvious, not having a bias, not having a preformed desire to force everybody into a particular camp, but literally just look at if we'd gone in, grabbed out the uranium, been out, if this had been a Venezuela 2.0, would have said, all right, great. Well done, Trump. I didn't think it could be done, but look, you did it. If this had happened in an afternoon or a weekend, if this had been hell, I mean, I even think the 4 weeks, timetable was never accurate or possible. So we never believed it. But it would have been better if we'd been done after 4 weeks, I think. So it gets a little bit exhausting just looking at things honestly and just being basically screamed at by a bunch of liars that know you're right, but want the evil to continue. And yet they never seem to pay the price for it. They never seem like there is no reward system in place right now to where the people that are actually right about this stuff get attention and get elevated, and the people that are wrong about it, they never are ashamed. They're never, held to account for it. They never pay any price. I mean, eventually they do. Ben Shapiro's whole shtick is collapsing, basically. But then you've got people like Dave Rubin, who has been making predictions and, analysis this entire Iran war that has been so unbelievably wrong. It's like hilarious. If I was ever this wrong about anything, I think I might just pack it in over and over to be wrong about literally everything. Every single time you open your mouth, at a certain point, you got to have the humility to go, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. I should shut the hell up because I keep being wrong about everything. And that's embarrassing. And I'm ashamed of that. They don't have shame. I don't think they have shame. So they're just going to block you or call you anti-Semitic if you point this out. Let's go to clip number 11 here. This is Dave Rubin. His greatest hits of the last 12 weeks of the Iran war. Please dispense your wisdom to us. Oh, Dave Rubin, let's watch.
Allow me to make a prediction here in my prediction stuff. I'm not Polly Market. I'm not Kalshi, but I'm pretty good at predictions. And my prediction is that everything that the media is now going to say about Iran's going to close the Strait of Hormuz and energy prices are going to go crazy and all these, none of this is going to come to pass. Gas prices are coming down and will continue to come down. If the United States wants to keep the Strait of Hormuz open, which it does, and Donald Trump said we'll escort ships through if we have to, it's going to stay open. This is the leader of the Iranian opposition. He has been in exile. His name is Reza Pahlavi. We have shown you videos of him before. He's the eldest son
of the former Shah of Iran, and he likely is the next leader of Iran. This is the guy that, by all accounts, when this war ends, will go in and he will be the leader. And again, it will be different. Just remember, it sounds like the Kurds are starting to enter the country with arms to help the people take out the last vestiges of the IRGC. There's a lot of good things happening. This is Iranians, and you can hear they are chanting Bibi June, Bibi Netanyahu. In Iran, they are chanting praise for Benjamin Netanyahu. And when you take out Khomeini and you take out his number 2 and his number 3 and his number 4 and his number 37 and his number 42, then suddenly the next guy's going, it's a little hot in here. And then people start behaving a little bit differently. They've plotted this war, this extraordinary war that will be studied for decades, right? For decades, they will study how this incredible war took place. That's, we are hitting critical infrastructure. We are damaging the regime. So hopefully the people will be able to take over their countries. Now, the question is, if you're going to hit power plants and you're going to hit civilian infrastructure and things of that nature, how do you make sure it's not going to harm the people, but just the regime? And when we have a Department of War that is not looking for war, but will perform war, then we are going to do it at the maximum level of competency. I think the way you can look at this, I haven't heard anyone else say this, but this seems to me to be the war to end all wars.
I forgot about that last one. I mean, it's like literally all of it. All of you are wrong about all of it. That's amazing. That's actually kind of amazing. I'd have to try really hard to be that wrong about everything all the time. Has he paid any price? Has he gone back and go, guys, when I said that the gas prices were going to go down, I was real wrong about that. Like, not even close to being right. I mean, they are going to study this war in history, just not for the reasons that you claim. So that was Dave Rubin's 12 weeks best hits of the Iran war. And of course, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't not know what he's doing. I don't believe that he believes what he's saying. I think he knows exactly what he was doing. And basically it's just, you know, keep support up for this until the consequences can be made irreparable, irreversible. And then you can admit that, okay, you know, you're wrong about everything, but you got to keep that lie going until then. You gotta keep the propaganda going. You gotta keep the lies going. You can't just say, well, things are going this way and we're gonna try this. It has to be, absolutely everything has to be a superlative. Absolutely everything has to be, this is a war for human survival. This is an existential war. It has to be an emergency. It has to be overwhelming. The threat has to be, you know, life on Earth being destroyed. And every move from America has to be the most genius, amazing, incredible, unpredictable, shockingly perfect move of all time, and everything the Iranians do has to be just complete madness, insanity, nonsense, when the reality is literally the exact opposite 100% of the time. 100% of the time. Again, I got more videos just of Israel just being awful than, you know, you can even imagine. This is the latest. This is from just a few minutes ago, right? Yeah, 2:32 p.m. Donald Trump is with his new Truth Social. If Iran surrenders, admits their navy is gone and resting at the bottom of the sea, and their air force is no longer with us, and if their entire military walks out of Tehran, weapons drop and hands held high, each shouting, I surrender, while wildly waving the representative white flag, if their entire remaining leadership signs all necessary documents of surrender and admit their defeat to the great power and force of magnificent USA, the failing New York Times, the China Street Journal, Wall Street Journal, corrupt and now irrelevant CNN, and all other members of the fake news media will headline that Iran had a masterful and brilliant victory over the United States. It wasn't even close. The Democrats and media have totally lost their way. They've gone absolutely crazy, President Donald J. Trump. Yeah, dude, sounds crazy. They sound crazy. Of course, that didn't actually happen. That's a fantasy you just made up in your mind. But yeah, I bet that would be crazy if that happened. Totally, man. Like, you imagine? Because you have to. Because it's not ever going to happen. So, okay. Great. Good point, Trump. Oh my God. Okay. So that's just the latest of Trump's Truth Social. Like, in a way, I kind of feel for Trump because he's just so relentlessly humiliated by Israel. He's just looking for something. He's just looking for something to cling on to make him feel like he's back in the saddle. But he just gets routinely bitch slapped down in front of everybody by Israel. He comes out on Friday and is like, we got this deal. It's so close. We're about to do it. And then there's like a shooter at the White House and it goes on lockdown. And then Israel ramps up its bombing on Lebanon. And then America's launching attacks in Iran. And he just gets his face rubbed in it. The master of the house comes home and says, oh, you think you're going to do a peace deal? That's cute. That's cute. And then he gets his face rubbed in the carpet. And it just happens over and over. In a way, I kind of feel him. He's like, you know, I got to lash out at somebody. And he sure as hell ain't lashing against the people actually doing it to him. Now, whether that's, you know, whatever, Stockholm syndrome or just whatever it is, I don't really care. It's just humiliating and embarrassing and obvious to absolutely everybody. The pattern that this is taking. And it makes sense for Israel as well, right? As we know, I mean, they have to destroy Iran this time around. There is no starting over again. There's no going back. If they stop now, it's over for them. It's over. Because, you know, Iran's learned a bunch of lessons. They're going to rebuild. By the way, the people of Iran are so much more dedicated to the regime than they ever were at the beginning of this. I mean, even as Trump is, you know, mocking the fantastical, you know, dream he had about mainstream media declaring an Iranian victory. Tell you what, I'll make a deal. I'll make a deal with Donald Trump. If everything as he lays out exactly as he put it happens, I will absolutely, without reservation, admit that he won the war and that he did it and that it was a good thing. Anything short of that, Iran won the war. Do you understand? If you can get the entire IRGC to wave white flags and praise your glorious name, then yeah, that will have been a victory. Everything else is a failure. So far, there's no method by which they can remove the uranium. There's no method by which they can open the strait. There's no method by which they can protect their assets like the fuel depots and the pipelines in the Middle East from Iranian retaliation. What does winning look like? I mean, winning would have to look like all of them surrendering. And then, I mean, that wouldn't even really be winning because it wouldn't actually really benefit America that much. It would just mean that Iran would become an Iraq 2.0, a Syria 2.0, a failed state. That's just a continual source of problems and a continued outlet for our military activities. Not even really a victory at the end of the day, but I'll give it to him. I'll give it to him. I'll make that concession. I will admit without reservation that we have won victory if and when the entire Iranian leadership bows their head, waves the white flag, and surrenders. But that's the only possible way this is anything other than an abysmal failure. At the most, what we can hope for now is a status quo slightly worse than it was when the war started. So they'll still have the Hormuz Strait. We'll still be, you know, completely ruined diplomatically because nobody wants to do deals with us. So, no, unless your fantasy comes true, Trump, you lost the war in Iran. And it's pathetic and embarrassing. And you should take your anger out on the people doing it to you. They're called Israel.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense. And we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos. And Paul Revere, we appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Back, folks. So we just read Donald Trump's fantasy of what he would like to see happen, what it would take for victory to be achieved in Iran. He basically said, "Hey, you know, this mainstream media, they're so wicked, they're so anti-Israel that even if all of the Iranians came out on the street waving white flags, begging for mercy and saying, we surrender, they would still call it an Iranian victory." It's like, maybe, I don't know. But regardless, Iran is clearly winning. They clearly have won. They've clearly showed that they're capable of resistance, which, again, the important thing to understand is that for 2 years, Iran sort of tried negotiating, tried diplomacy, sat back and watched as Israel systematically destroyed Gaza. And, you know, the whole time, sort of the idea was, the thing being put across to everybody was that Iran was incapable of doing anything to stop it. They basically would rattle their sabers, but then always back down when it actually, you know, when the rubber hit the road. But in reality, it's pretty obvious now, Iran could have done this at any point, could have mounted this type of resistance at any point and didn't do so voluntarily. Wasn't because they're weak, was because they're incapable of retaliating, because they genuinely didn't want to. That's the only thing I can determine from all of this. which I think is an important thing to understand. But Donald Trump has a fantasy about Iranians taking to the streets and waving white flags. In reality, what's happening is this, clip 32, thousands of people poured onto the streets of Tehran overnight to pledge loyalty and support for the regime and the IRGC. Let's watch. So there you go. Just absolutely massive. Waving the Iranian flag. So, I mean, in that regard, this is the opposite outcome than we wanted and expected, right? I mean, the idea was we started off this whole little adventure with Donald Trump making videos going, now's the time, go seize your government. We've made the opening for you, and it's not going to be like this again, so go now and take over your government. Fast forward a couple months, they are so much more dedicated to the regime than they ever were before. They have been subjected to terror bombing raids against elementary schools and little girls' camps, as well as threats against their bridges and electrical facilities. They probably are feeling pretty good right now. It probably feels amazing having a country stand up for you like this. It's the exact opposite of what was intended. So just like the Strait of Hormuz, it's the exact opposite of what they intended. Okay. So not exactly a victory, and they're not exactly having their morale destroyed. And I'll give you a breakdown of what exactly has happened over the last couple of days, literally last couple of days, where there was this agreement, and then it was like, oh, wait, there is no agreement. And, we can go into the different statements and who said what. It's not that complicated, folks. America wanted to get an agreement with Iran, and Israel didn't want to. It's not that complicated. And so all of the Israel First American agents came out, Lindsey Graham and all these people came out saying, well, no, we can't do a ceasefire. We can't do a peace agreement. This is all wrong. This is so dangerous. Peace is just the most dangerous thing in the world. If we want peace, we have to wage war, because war is peace. Don't you understand this yet? And, it's not a matter of, anything other than their support of Israel. Like, that's it. That's the dividing thing. That's, that's what makes Dave Rubin lie to your face. Are they Israel first or are they America first? That's the only division that makes any sense right now. And everybody who is Israel first is very mad about this looming peace deal, including the Israelis themselves, who basically came out and said, we're not allowing Donald Trump to declare peace. So again, Israel must be destroyed. I don't know why we keep, dancing around this fact. Israel must be destroyed for the world to have any peace. Now I want to go back to 2024. This was back in 2024 in September, I believe. This was a deputation of 57 Arab and Muslim countries who came together to offer Israel a lasting, a sustained, and a guaranteed peace. The only thing they wanted was a path towards statehood for the Palestinians. So once again, I want to remind you, and this has been the case since they first started the attack in, October of 2023. They have to present this as a, existential crisis for which, there is no solution so that they can keep waging this war. All of this, everything we've done, all the money we've spent, all the chaos that's been caused, all the strife here in America, students being arrested and deported, like all of this is in service of Israel's desire to wage war against anybody they want with impunity and without consideration for how it affects anything else. That's it. It's not survival. It's not we have to do this or they die. It's not we have to do this or they're severely disadvantaged. We have to do this or they lose a large chunk of their country. We have to do this or they, none of that. It's we have to do this or else Israel won't be able to kill everybody around them. That's the thing we're doing it for. We're doing it for the ethnic cleansing. We're doing it for the international immunity of Israel. That's it. That's the thing that we're fighting for. Nothing else. Has nothing to do with survival. Has nothing to do with terrorism. It is entirely to do with Israel's desire to kill everybody around them and not have to pay the cost for it. That's what all this is for. All of the political capital that's been spent kicking Thomas Massie out of the Congress, like all of it is downstream from the fact that Israel refuses to do anything other than kill all of their neighbors. They've had the option for peace over and over and over again. They're the ones that reject it because they don't want it, because they don't need it, because they know they have America by the balls. They have the, you know, octopus or whatever it is sitting on Trump's head with its tentacles in his ear, manipulating his brain. So they don't have to care about the consequences because America will absorb the consequences. America will be blamed for what Israel's doing because America is the reason they're able to do it. So in 2024, 57 Arab and Muslim countries offered Israel a peace plan. It guaranteed security in exchange for a Palestinian state and the end of the occupation. Israel refused. Then Israel turns around and claims they don't want peace while acting as the main obstacle to peace. Let's watch.
The Israeli Prime Minister came here today and said that Israel is surrounded by those who want to destroy it, an enemy. We're here, members of a Muslim Arab committee mandated by 57 Arab and Muslim countries. And I can tell you here, very unequivocally, all of us are willing to, right now, guarantee the security of Israel in the context of Israel ending the occupation and allowing for the emergence of a Palestinian state, independent state, along the reference that we all agree. He is creating that danger because he simply does not want the two-state solution. And if he does not want the two-state solution, can you ask the Israeli officials, what is their end game? Other than just wars and wars and wars, I'm telling you, all of us in the Arab world here, we want a peace in which Israel lives in peace and security, accepted, normalized with all Arab countries in the context of ending the occupation, withdrawing from Arab territory, allowing for the emergence of an independent sovereign Palestinian state on June 4, 1967, lies with occupied Jerusalem as capital. That is our narrative. That is, and we will guarantee Israel security in that context. Can you ask Israelis what's their narrative other than I'm going to continue to go to war, I'm going to kill this and kill that and destroy this and this, that. The amount of damage that Israeli government has done, 30 years of efforts to convince people that peace is possible, this Israeli government killed it. The amount of dehumanization, hatred, bitterness will take generations to navigate to navigate through. So ultimately the question is, we want peace. And we've laid out a plan for peace. Ask any Israeli official, what is their plan for peace? You'll get nothing because they're only thinking of the first step. We're going to go destroy Gaza, inflame the West Bank, destroy Lebanon. And after that, they have no plan. We have a plan. We have no partner for peace in Israel. There is a partner for peace in the Arab world.
See, now, I agree with what he's saying, but he's wrong at that last part. They have a plan. Of course they have a plan. He's like, they just want to destroy Lebanon, but they don't have a plan. Of course they have a plan. The plan is to murder or expel everybody there and take it over. It's not complicated. It's they're doing it. It's not even a plan. It's an operation currently being carried out in front of all of us. Okay? Not to be jocose about such a thing, but come on, let's be honest here. You've got things like this. And you know, it is fascinating because something like this happens and you can see in real time as the Hasbara networks launch into overdrive. Like, it's really fascinating. Because on one hand, the initial report is like, peace, there's going to be peace. We have an agreement, right? May 23rd, President Trump posted that, quote, an agreement had largely been negotiated. We got a little bit of finalization to do here, but other than that, you know, we don't have to worry about it. So on May 23rd, he comes out and is like, we did it. And the first reaction initially is like celebration. It's like amazing. Hooray. But you can hear quietly, like you can see in the cracks, you see people going, well, I don't know if this is such a great idea. And then you see the wheels start turning. Then you see all of the agents activated. Suddenly people are coming up with reasons why this is a bad idea. And well, of course, I'm all for peace, but have you considered? And then you start seeing, I don't know, things like a shooter at the White House all of a sudden. Maybe a coincidence. Maybe. Maybe a test. Maybe they wanted to see what the reaction would be from secret security. We don't know. I mean, after all, Israel did get caught placing trackers on the ambulance that would rush Donald Trump to the hospital in the event of an assassination. But it's just, it's fascinating because you've got things like this. Largest show on X deletes this post on Netanyahu's Nazi collective punishment talks. Did somebody force Mario to delete it? So Mario Nafal tweets out, Israel's finance minister Smotrich reportedly told Netanyahu today that Israel should level 10 buildings in Beirut for every drone Hezbollah launches. The Nazis killed 10 civilians for every soldier of theirs that was killed. Notice the pattern? But then he was forced to delete this. So this is what I mean. Not only do you get the big names coming out and trying to give reasonable explanations as to why the piece is bad, then you've got some people like accidentally telling the truth about what's going on, and clearly they get some sort of pressure from some sort of outside force and are forced to delete that. You see the bombings go on all over the Middle East as Israel ramps up its attacks on Gaza and Lebanon. They just bombed the tent city in Gaza again for like the 100th time. And by the way, it is true, in fact, the finance minister Smotrich did call for 10 buildings to be destroyed for every one drone Hezbollah sends. Like, it's not that complicated. It's a very simple sort of, you know, pressure tactic, which they think will get Hezbollah to be like, okay, we'll stop shooting drones. Just stop destroying our buildings. I mean, it's just completely outrageous. And it just goes on and on. What you just saw there was them bombing a dam in Lebanon, trying to flood a bunch of cities, a bunch of towns that would be literally wiped away if that dam were to collapse, as well as, of course, all the drinking water. And you've got Ben-Gavir talking about, you know, suggesting to Netanyahu they should cut off electricity to Lebanon, which has already, you know, suffered under sanctions by America on behalf of Israel for decades on end at this point. Let's just go over the timeline of this weekend, right? So May 23rd, Donald Trump basically says it's largely been negotiated, subject to finalization between the U.S. and regional actors. The framework aims to pause hostilities, reopen the Strait of Hormuz for freer shipping, and create space for broader talks, including Iran's nuclear program. And the idea was they'd have 60 days to finalize the discussions of the nuclear program, but that everything else more or less had been agreed to. Pakistani mediators and other Middle Eastern countries have been involved. U.S. officials, including Secretary of State Marco Rubio, described the process positively and orderly, with some reports of a potential 60-day memorandum on demining, shipping, and oil flows. Markets reacted positively. Tehran was a little bit more cautious, came out and said, well, the full deal's not imminent. We haven't solved everything, but we are making strides. Iranian officials emphasized immediate war-ending steps, ending the U.S. naval blockade on Iranian ports and releasing frozen assets over broader nuclear commitments. They insisted they will not yield to pressure and have rejected some U.S. characterizations of the drafts. Consensus exists on some issues, but significant gaps remain. Then the next day, it was like, well, maybe not. Well, actually, maybe not. Actually, something happened. Somebody made the call to somebody else. Well, probably lots of calls were being made. And Trump came out and said, well, you know, maybe we aren't as close as I thought. Maybe actually we've got a while to go. So on the 24th, the next day, Trump tempered expectations, saying negotiations were proceeding constructively, but that he would not rush a deal, that outcomes depend on final terms. He described the chances of a good deal versus renewed strikes as roughly 50-50. The very next day, while Iranian negotiators, including top negotiator and foreign minister, were in Doha, Qatar for talks, the U.S. conducted limited self-defense strikes on Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps boats, allegedly deploying mines and missile sites near Bandar Abbas in southern Iran. U.S. Central Command described the action as necessary to protect U.S. troops and assets without ending the ceasefire framework. Iran reports the incidents were contained and, as of the latest information available, have chosen not to respond. Overall, the period reflects cautious optimistic diplomatic momentum mixed with ongoing mistrust and low-level friction. So again, this is like the Grok overview, just to give you an idea of like how quickly this happened. May 23rd, we're here, we're finalizing the deal. May 24th, well, you know, it's about 50-50. I got some calls from Netanyahu and it turns out it's about 50-50 at this point. And the very next day we're bombing and Israel opens up a giant new front in Lebanon. And of course, Lebanon, the ceasefire in Lebanon is a core component of whatever negotiations are happening. U.S. and Israel actively working, by the way, to strip Jordan of Al-Aqsa custodianship, sources say. So a plan has sparked fears that Jordan's role in Jerusalem could be sidelined in favor of a new arrangement aligned with Israeli interests. So remember, all of this, oh my God, it is actually kind of complicated. Basically, Israel was outflanking the Palestinian cause diplomatically. And we're getting all of these Middle Eastern countries to join the Abraham Accords and, you know, work together with Israel. The Palestinians recognized that if these big countries were making these agreements with Israel, it meant they sort of abandoned the Palestinian cause. And as this was happening, Israel was holding marches to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. We're talking about destroying it to build the Third Temple. And so October 7th was an attempt by the Palestinians in the geopolitical strategy there was to disrupt the normalization of relationships between Israel and these other Arab countries, because they understood that should that process continue, it would end with a total isolation of the Palestinians. Nobody would come to defend them in any way at all, and they could be wiped out, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque could be turned into the Third Temple and destroyed. It's like the second or third most holy site in, you know, Muslims, in Islam. And so they named October 7th the attack Al-Aqsa Flood, right? It was a preemptive attack to stop the, you know, destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Clearly, that is still very much the goal of the Israelis, to take over the Al-Aqsa Mosque and to destroy it and build the temple. The U.S. and Israel actively working to strip Jordan of its historic custodianship of Israel's Al-Aqsa Mosque complex and are pursuing a new arrangement that would see the management of the revered Muslim site closely aligned with Israeli interests, multiple sources have told Middle East Eye. U.S., Jordanian, and Palestinian officials, as well as Western and Gulf Arab sources, told MEE that under the plan championed by Donald Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, who has no official role in the administration, and the U.S. ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee, the authority of the Jordanian-backed Islamic Wadq, would abruptly end, and a new body would be created by the Israeli government that would declare the Al-Aqsa Mosque a multi-faith center. It's a multi-faith center. So again, it's like you want to talk about not only who is the country that's just constantly starting wars with all of their neighbors, but also who's doing the provocative and upsetting things to inspire the hatred of them in the first place. Could you not wait? You can't wait. You couldn't wait until there's some semblance of normalcy. Because if this was a genuine attempt to, like, you know, preserve the mosque and preserve the multi-faith character of Jerusalem, they could have waited, but they want to cause problems. They want to cause trouble. They want to make people angry and force them to violence so they can act like the victims. It's called poking the bear. It's what they're doing. Israel would also have major say over the appointment of imams, preachers, and senior mosque officials, and would also be involved in signing off on the content mentioned in Friday sermons. According to the officials, all who requested anonymity, the new arrangement would grant Jews equal access to the Muslim site and formally allow large group Jewish prayer. So everybody understands, the people proposing this understand, the people opposing it understand, everybody understands that if this happens, it means the Al-Aqsa Mosque will be destroyed. Because that's the reason the Jews marched to Al-Aqsa Mosque. They marched there, talk about destroying it. If you give them equal access, they're going to take advantage of that. And they're going to be there all the time. And they're going to be disrupting things all of the time. And it's going to be a constant source of chaos. And so they're going to look at this and go, geez, this is so chaotic and crazy. This can't continue to exist. Maybe it shouldn't be here. Maybe we should just destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque. I mean, there are lots of ways they could go about this. But it's just endless. It's just endless from these people. It never stops. They're just constantly doing everything they possibly can to violate the most sacred beliefs of everybody else. It's like they're just the word. Israel must be destroyed, okay? It's the only solution to this. They're never going to stop. They're never going to come to their senses. Israel's never going to actually be a multi-faith, diverse country. It is a ethno-state, fascist, communist hell world where they will kill everybody that's not Jews. Like, it's pretty damn simple what they're doing here. And so Donald Trump comes out on Friday, or May 23rd, and says, hey, we're super, super close to an agreement. It's pretty much finalized. We've got to dot the I's and cross the T's. Then Israel gets mad, says they don't like it. Trump comes back, says, well, it's about 50-50. And then suddenly he says, you know, actually, if we do want this to go forward, everybody's going to need to sign on to the Abraham Accords. So tying it all in together, it's the Abraham Accords that were causing the normalization with Israel, that was causing a lack of support for Palestinians, that the Palestinians saw as an existential crisis, targeting the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So they launched the October 7th Al-Aqsa flood attack to try to disrupt that process. Here is the Iran war has basically been won by Iran. Trump is trying to force in the Abraham Accords, obviously at the behest of Israel. And if you understand what the Abraham Accords are, then you understand it is basically impossible for this to actually be accepted by Iran. So it'll never happen. It's a poison pill. And that's basically it. Trump demands Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, Egypt, Jordan, Pakistan all sign the Abraham Accords as condition of the Iran deal. President Trump posted on Truth Social Monday demanding that all countries involved in Iranian negotiations simultaneously sign the Abraham Accords, describing it as a prerequisite for any deal and warning those who would refuse would be excluded from the government. While America has spearheaded the establishment of the Abraham Accords, it's not for our benefit. It's for Israel. So basically what he's saying here is that America will continue to wage war until all of Israel's neighbors bow to Israel. We're waging this war for Israel. It was started for Israel. We tried to end it and Israel didn't let us. We tried to end it again. And now Israel's saying, we'll let you end it, but only if you get all of our neighbors to basically, you know, sign agreements to be subject to us. I can say it over and over, but at a certain point, we have to understand that like Israel is just destroying our country. They've destroyed the Republican Party. And Donald Trump is going along with it. It's, God only knows why. We can speculate, but it's just truly insane. He posted on Truth Social Monday demanding that all countries involved in Iranian negotiations simultaneously sign the Abraham Accords, describing it as a prerequisite. It should be mandatory for all these countries at a minimum simultaneously sign on the Abraham Accords, Trump wrote, naming Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Pakistan, Turkey, and Egypt, Jordan, and Bahrain as targets. The UAE and Bahrain are already members. Trump warned if they don't, they should not be part of this deal and that it shows bad intention. He said it should start with immediate signing by Saudi Arabia and Qatar and everybody else should follow suit. He also dangled Iran's own potential membership, writing, if Iran signs its agreement with me, it would be an honor to have them as part of this unparalleled world coalition. The Abraham Accords, brokered during Trump's first term, normalized relations between Israel and the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, and Kazakhstan. Trump's demand would require mediating countries to recognize Israel and normalize relations as a condition of ending the Iran war. So sure, America will end the war, but only if you pledge loyalty to Israel first. In case it needed to be any more clear why we're doing this and who's benefiting from it, it's Israel. We're waging this war for Israel. We should be waging a war against Israel.
The night at midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones, because if you just go to AlexJonesLive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name. Where he is continuing and hasn't missed a beat. If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at AlexJonesLive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back. Stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Well, guys, America's got to decide to stop picking up the knife. And that's what tonight is all about. We let another country illegally take us to war. Marco Rubio admitted this on March 1st, the day after the conflict started. Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation. So we had to join in on the strike. It's another 24 windows. That's what we were told. Now, we're in it later. Trump is negotiating. It's still going on. We all know this. It hasn't stopped. It won't stop until we all do something about it. This is about the identity and the spirit of the American people. Do we co-sign murder, rape, regime change, color revolution, destruction, or do we stand up and say, enough is enough? It is time to end the thousand-year Boomer Reich in this country. It is time to end the era of old people making all the decisions for us, sending young men like me off to die. I'm 23 years old. I'm not going. I'm not going to die from these old men. The idea that that is somehow an unpatriotic thing to say, it's the most patriotic thing around. You know, I want to have children. I want to continue America. My children know about this country. I don't want to die in the desert for a foreign state that's committing multiple genocides.
Yeah. Right.
Sam, you would think that this is a very simple concept, a very basic concept to understand. We have all seen the footage, the videotapes, the photos of the genocide in Gaza, the mass slaughter and annexation of Lebanon, the killing of the schoolgirls, the blowing up the bridge, along with the giant poison cloud of acid rain that rained over a city of 10 million people, giving untold thousand cancers and other deformities, birth defects, disabilities. We don't even care. You know, in America, the Iranians, they line up to defend the power lines. We would circle the Burger King. Okay? We would circle the Chick-fil-A. We would protect the McDonald's because that's our spirit. And you have to ask, that's not the America of Theodore Roosevelt, of Thomas Jefferson, of George Washington, of Abraham Lincoln. That's not even America, is it? And you think, well, we still live in the greatest country in the world. We still have all this nice stuff. What's been taken from us? What's been taken from us is our dignity. Okay? You are not done to the Iranians will be done to you if you co-sign and accept it. This is very core and very basic to understand. The same track and trace digital AI hell they use the mosaic on the Palestinians, that's coming home. The same billionaires that do it over there are going to do it over here. You are not going to accept it, ladies and gentlemen. I want to take a little bit of time to tell you about my background in case you don't know me. So I grew up at the birthplace of alternative media, also known as Free Speech Systems, also known as Infowars.com. I spent 17 years in the birthplace of alternative media in our office, which has now been taken from us. And my father was deplatformed, censored, sued for $1 billion, in part because he dared to question a mass casualty event. Jesse Waters, Sean Hannity, Rachel Maddow, left, right, center, it doesn't matter. They deny genocide every night. Are you kidding me? Where is the equality in our justice system? Where is the recognition of hypocrisy within the public? The public doesn't know what hypocrisy means. They can't spell it. 54% of Americans don't read on a sixth grade level, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, I'm in the talking business. I've been in the talking business all my life. And people criticize, they say, we gotta take action, we gotta do something about this. And I 110% agree. But, alternatively, on the same hand, if you're not out there every day waking at least one more person up to what we are paying for and what we are doing, you are a part of the problem. Okay? This is about starting a cascade that flows like crushing water and drowns all of the poison out. That is what this is all about. Okay? It is your responsibility as American citizens to help the public understand how much they've been robbed, how much they've been raped, how much they've been stolen from, because we're so stupid and dumbed down.
That's Rex Jones at the Rage Against the War Machine event. He's got a little bit of his father's fire, I think. Very, very cool to see. We'll be right back, folks.
Most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
I want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax. Not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
Second hour of War Room Live is on. I want to go to an interesting clip here, clip number 65. This was a hacker that went on with Tucker Carlson. This guy's very good. I've seen him in a lot of interviews, and he knows a lot about the way cybersecurity works and doesn't work a lot of the time. But I thought this segment was particularly informative and interesting. Here is, I guess his name is Ryan Montgomery. Ryan Montgomery is a hacker who went on Tucker Carlson and showed him what type of information he could find about Tucker using the internet. Let's watch. 65. Terrifying reality check. Hacker Ryan Montgomery leaves Tucker Carlson. Let's watch.
You have my social security number.
Well, so I have your social security number. I have your full name, obviously. I don't think that's a secret. I see all your fishing licenses and you know, hunting licenses from Alaska, Oregon, Virginia. I mean, I found all the places that you do your thing.
Alaska, Oregon, Virginia.
Yep. I even have your driver's license number in Florida.
Oh, that's
looks like you haven't changed your phone number in a long time.
1995.
Okay. So that
every mental patient in America has my phone number. Everybody is. I'm not afraid of people. I'm never going to be afraid of people. So
one thing I want to tell you about how I have your social security number and why is kind of ridiculous, to be honest with you. Have you heard of the National Public Data Breach?
No.
Okay. So,
Can I just say that I keep my assets in gold coins buried in a place that, you know, only my children can identify. So,
well, you know what?
I'm totally safe. You can't drain my bank account.
Well, let me show you something. You might not be able to drain your bank account, but here is your signature from your warranty deed. So having your...
How do you have that? That is my actual signature.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Which is not my name. So I don't know how you would have that.
Oh, I pulled it from public record.
That is crazy.
You know what would have been more effective? I think what would have been more effective than that is if Ryan Montgomery pretended to be a psychic. Wouldn't that have been more interesting? If instead of just going, yeah, I bought all of this information from the dark web, let me show you how I have it. What if he had been like, let me guess your social security number. Because the way you talk sort of gives me hints. See, I noticed that your eye twitched when I said one is the first number one, and the talk would be like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. You understand that's what happened to Joe Rogan, right? You understand that's exactly what happened to Joe Rogan when the Israeli guy, who also happened to be the guy who was correctly guessing the baby name that had never been announced of the White House spokeswoman when the shooting happened. He just happened to be there. But the only time anybody previously heard about him is when he had been on Joe Rogan and had shown Joe Rogan that he knew his PIN number and pretended to be psychic while doing it. I think that's what Ryan Montgomery should do. I think, you know, because you're just out there telling people where you're getting this information. If you dress it up in a little bit of woo-woo, give it some, you know, fake acting like you're a hypnotist, then you can convince people that you're psychic and sort of subtly threaten them in front of a giant audience right on their own show. So I think that would be more interesting. I think that would be a more interesting way to do it, Ryan Montgomery. But that's just me. But I do actually think that is what happened with Joe Rogan, which is why he got freaked out so much when the guy was saying that he had his PIN number. Because obviously you can get all sorts of stuff through the dark web, especially if you're, the government of Israel and have all of these agents in big tech and everywhere else on your payroll providing you information. It's easy to get information on everybody. Now I'm going to talk about Europe here. And good Lord, I mean, it ain't good. It's not looking good whatsoever for Israel. However, there is a silver lining. There is a bright spot out there, and it is that Europe, despite all of the attempts to crush the spirit of the European people, Europe itself is still replete. It is stuffed to the gills with some of the most impressive, intelligent, and wise people I've ever seen. I want to go to one of those videos here. Before I do, I want to tell you that the massive BOGO sale, the BOGO subs, buy one, get one free supplement sale, has been extended today only on the alexjonesstore.com. Buy one T3 trifecta iodine tincture, you get a second one absolutely free. Buy a bottle of ultramethylene blue tincture, you get a second bottle absolutely free. T3 trifecta iodine tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. Methylene blue tincture, on the other hand, supports mental clarity, cognitive function, cellular performance, and mitochondrial performance as well. And taken together, it is a very powerful 1-2 punch. If you've ever wanted to try it, now's the time to try it. If you want to stock up, now's the time to stock up. If you ever want to support us, what are you waiting for? Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. This sale ends today. Don't miss it, thealexjonesstore.com. Now, with that, I want to go to this video. It went absolutely viral over the weekend for very good reason. And I'm kind of embarrassed by this. So we see that I see this guy walking down the street. He's got a hat. He's got a mustache. He's being interviewed. And apparently they just randomly go up to this guy and ask him some questions. And the man delivers this perfect diatribe. No ums, no likes. It's just amazing. The rhetorical skill of this guy. So I'm like, oh my God, I got to get this guy on the show. So I find out who he is. He's a man by the name of Frank Wright. And I go, Mr. Wright, that was amazing. I'd love to have you on the show sometime. And he goes, you know, I was in your studio to talk about surrogate stuff. And it took me a second. I was like, oh my God, I totally did not recognize, and I felt very embarrassed. But yes, this is Frank Wright. We've had him on the show. We're going to have him on the show later this week. He is a friend of the show and a former contributor. I didn't even realize. I thought this was just some guy. I thought this was just some, I guess he is, some random UK citizen. Yeah, I didn't have my glasses on. That was the problem. That was the issue. But no, it's me. It totally slipped by me. It was just like, oh, right, it's you. Here's Frank Wright being just an absolute genius and being asked for his opinion on modern UK politics. So we'll start with the bright spot. We start with the sunlight and the silver lining that there are still geniuses out there. Then I'll show you what they're contending with on the other side. But first, here's Frank Wright in probably the most brilliant breakdown of European politics I've ever seen. Let's watch.
So what has persuaded you to come out today?
Well, we've driven up, my son and I, from Newbury. Because obviously we can see the state of the nation and there's a national emergency and we need to obviously think about the future. What kind of country are we going to have for our children? Or are we going to have a nation at all? Now, I'd rather live in a nation and not a market, not a borderless international supermarket browsed by mutually hostile strangers, not something that reduces us all to bargain hunters. We need to save the nation, and I think that Rupert Lowe's Restore Britain is the only credible vehicle to do that.
What was it that made you come over? What were the issues that pulled you to Restore, and what was the moment?
Well, you can see that there's, obviously, there's the bankruptcy of the general liberal idea. There's the fact that you get a sense that the Western idea and the ideas we've had since the Second World War are winding down themselves, and at the same time, You can't escape the fact that we appear to be morally as well as financially bankrupt across the West, across Europe and in Britain, that the whole system is in a form of crisis. If you like, what we used to call normal life has been replaced by a permanent state of emergency in terms of our social incohesion, in terms of demographic change, in terms of the fact that there appear to be no realistic solutions offered, and whoever you vote for, the same mad policies get continued throughout your life, and that's what I've seen the last 30 years, and if it goes on, we're finished.
So what does finished look like?
What does finished look like? Finished looks like an economic collapse. Finished looks like spending all your money on foreign wars when nothing works in the country. Finished looks like you can't get a job for being competent. There's no sanity even in recruitment. We have a competency crisis because for increasingly ideological and insane reasons, employment opportunities, even training opportunities, are restricted. There's one news story after another about why, for political reasons, we're doing mad things that bankrupt the country, that basically park people's careers, that exclude talented people of genuine principle from any area of influence whatsoever. And taken collectively, this is the politics and economics of national suicide. So it has to stop. And there's increasingly a sense, not just in Britain, but throughout the West, that something has to change. And I think that's only going to build as we begin to see the devastating consequences of the latest round of reckless warmongering in the Middle East, which we should never have been involved in, but we're all going to have to live with those consequences. And from this summer on, we're going to see how bitter they are. And it's only going to get worse unless we change the system. And there's no real change that's offered by the parties of the forced consensus. That was the liberal establishment after the Second World War, and it doesn't work anymore, and it hasn't produced the utopia it's promised. It's produced a sort of hell on earth from which there seems to be no way out. But there is. There are people of genuine principle and genuine talent in this country. And the reason why so many people despair of that is because I think they've been systematically excluded from positions of power, influence, and professional advantage for ideological reasons that has bankrupted the country. But we have enormous human capital here. We're just not permitted to release it, because if you don't have the correct views, you don't get the job, you don't get any promotion. In fact, you might be harassed off social media and find yourself debanked, or at least your career is stymied. So what we need is a realistic economy, some return of human dignity to every area of life. Because as I said, it hasn't just financially bankrupted us, it's morally bankrupted us too. And we're looking at a state where you're going to live in a borderless international bazaar, a placelessness, if you like, an international nowhere land, where nothing means anything, nowhere seems like home, and where the essential value of human life is replaced with price, such as we see in awful things like surrogacy or 0 hours contracts, or the increasing degradation of, if you what you call, a work-life balance. Finally, how many people actually do work? How many people are now dependent on the state, directly or indirectly, to the point where those people exceed the ability of the nation to actually make money? This is an economic doom spiral. And so the more that you look at the problem, the more you realise that really, we are facing a national emergency. And if you are going to take on the duties of the state, something more than self-interest or printing money for your own political friends, we need to do better than that. We need to take seriously the depth of the crisis that we're in, and we need people of genuine principle and talent to address that. And I think we've found them under Rupert Lowe and in Restore Britain.
And so, do you believe that essentially it's the rhetoric of blood, sweat and tears that we need in this country?
No, I don't think we need any rhetoric at all. You see, that's partly the problem. For the last century, we've been ruled by the political technique of the liberal system, which is basically the rule by media. And what you do then is you use slogans and you use concepts and you attach people's hopes and dreams, basically, to messages for products that you're never going to deliver. That's how we're ruled. We are sold dreams. Our desires are stimulated by, if you like, the kind of ruling consensus. But none of these things ever happen. And instead what happens is what the elites want to happen. And so we get involved in these terrible economic doom spirals. We see the quality of our lives degraded as margins are shaved. Everything's subject to shrinkflation now. It's not just your chocolate bars that are getting smaller.
It's the value of your wages. It's your ability to earn a living. It's the kind of job that you have to do so. Usually a kind of dignity-free environment, right, where you're slowly choked to death by the lanyard and its terms and conditions. So if we have just more empty rhetoric, we're not going to get anywhere. You need credible people of genuine integrity and experience and ability who are committed to some higher purpose than themselves, than their own personal enrichment or their own mad ideological faction. We need a sense of higher purpose to see beyond the predicament that the Real Buy Media has delivered us into, because it's delivered us all into a fantasy world that's turned out to be a nightmare. And those adverts, if you like, for that system that Francis Fukuyama described as the end of history, the liberal system, he said, periodic elections plus cheap consumer goods. And that was the final verdict on the organisation of mankind, and we could never do any better. Well, it hasn't delivered, has it? The elections have delivered political paralysis in Britain, and in France, and in Germany, the major powers of Europe. And so, what's that electoral system doing? It's ground to a halt. And the economics of this, if you ask conservatives who market, basically market worshippers, if you sit next to them and say, look, you've destroyed our nation, replaced it with a series of light industrial sheds increasingly staffed by third world migrant labour. What has that conserved? It's demolished everything. Everything that they claim to believe in about Burke and his little platoons, about traditional communities and traditional values, has basically been suborned to market worship and pure profit. We need something more than money. We need something more than empty ideological slogans. We need real change for people's real lives, for a change. And I think the crisis that the West generally is facing, politically, diplomatically, morally and financially, gives you the opportunity to make the kind of deep-rooted change that you need to save the nation.
And where is it you think that reform has fallen into, you know, these traps are falling for this? Because obviously you've chosen Restore over Reform.
Yeah.
And you've already mentioned the Iran war. And they obviously want to back the Americans.
Well, this is a difficult question to approach if you're not the kind of sad person with no life like me who actually gets into this. But the Americans didn't choose that war freely on their own, did they? They've admitted severally, their own chief diplomat Marco Rubio and many others, the leader of the House and so on, have said that this was a war for Israel because Israel was going to launch that war. And so the real fundamental question is who basically rules the United States, because that war is definitely not in the national interest of the Americans. In fact, I personally predicted this along with others at the beginning of January. This has led to a strategic defeat of the United States. It's broken its military presence, its credibility. It's now seen as agreement incapable. That means in diplomacy, nobody believes your promises. So no one's going to make any deals with you because you constantly break them. And what's worse with that, you then assassinate the people that you were trying to make the agreements with in the first place. Incidentally, the Straits were open before you did this and you killed the men who placed a religious prohibition on the development of nuclear weapons, you know? And then your big idea is to bomb everybody so they love you. I mean, this is insane. It doesn't make sense. There's no interest in the national interest at the political elite level in the West, whether it's in the United States or whether it's in Britain or whether it's in Europe. And that's the reason why these political parties are seeing themselves decline dramatically in popularity, because they're not delivering for their own people. The way that they rule is for the interests of the rulers, not the ruled. And you can see that there, because these wars are mad. And it's not just the Iran war. These wars are mad from the point of view of the national interest of any Western nation, because it didn't deliver anything for them other than misery and chaos. And in fact, if you look into the history of regime change, not only did it come about because of Benjamin Netanyahu saying that he wanted the West to replace diplomacy with a war on terror from 1979, but when it went on to do this, what did it produce? The reason we have a mass migration crisis in Europe is because of the wars in the Middle East that the United States has wholeheartedly...
All right, so this goes on for a few more minutes, and again, you can... I retweeted that, and he will be on with us later this week. I'll be hosting the Alex Jones Show, and he'll come on, and we'll talk about all of this and more. But just an absolutely brilliant breakdown. And he breaks down, you know, what's actually behind the breakdown, right? The breakdown is what's obvious, what's apparent, the lack of law and order, the lack of, you know, everything good and wonderful in the world. But the real reason behind it is a lack of strength, a lack of commitment to your, you know, moral purpose as a nation. A couple of videos came out over the weekend that reflect this one way or the other. This one is sort of a good symbol for Europe as a whole. Clip 78 here, as a bunch of white English kids are brought to a mosque and instructed how to be Muslim and perform the Muslim rites. And you know, in the Muslim belief, you don't have to genuinely believe, you just have to do the action. So these kids are basically becoming Muslim by doing this, and you get the one kid who stands up and refuses to do it. What's wrong with all these other kids? What's wrong with the kid's parents? What has this kid been told that makes him stand up and resist? We don't know, but we need a hell of a lot more kids like that. Let's go now to clip number 63. This is another example of just how insane the UK has gotten. And this is a good example of something we talk about here in America quite a bit. But in the UK, it's like so much worse. Let's go ahead and watch this. Basically, this guy had his moped stolen, tracked it down, found it, called the police, and now the policeman is standing there in front of the moped, stopping him from getting it. So when I say that, like, the justice system, especially, I mean, in America, but in Europe as well, is contrary to its purpose, this is exactly what I'm talking about. If the police weren't there, the guy could just go get his bike. But because the police are, like, paralyzed by bureaucracy, they're literally protecting the thief from the owner of the bike coming and getting his own bike. Let's watch.
This goes to a car found. However, if no forensics come back, then we still don't have a suspect.
So the fact that I have... Sorry, I'm just trying to understand, yeah?
Yeah.
The fact that I have stolen goods on my property doesn't necessarily mean I stole it.
It's in a part of the property that anyone could access because it's a side gate with no secure entrance.
It's inside this woman's property...
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean that it was stolen. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying. I've said to you already, of course your bike's been stolen.
No, I'm listening.
We're not debating the fact that your bike's been stolen.
So the bike is stolen, yeah?
Yeah, you've reported it stolen.
Okay,
have you
that's
not?
It stolen. Yeah. Okay, good. That's that. We have an agreement on that.
So we're not disputing the fact that your bike's been stolen. What we're disputing is we have, at the moment, we have no evidence of who's stolen the bike.
Who's stolen the bike? Even though the bike is in this woman's backyard.
Okay, this female owns the house.
So this goes on and on for another 5 minutes. But yeah, he's got the stolen goods right there. The man who owns the bike wants to go get it, and the cops are stopping him going, well, we don't know, you know, we got to do an investigation, you know, we don't know if it actually belongs to the person. Anybody could have put it there. It's insane. It's contrary to the purpose of law enforcement. Again, it's in like a complicated philosophical, political thing to debate or, you know, get to the center of. It's literally just freaking obvious. Let's go to clip number 51 here. We just have time. Another thing I've been warning endlessly about, and we're now seeing the consequences of, and we're seeing it come to fruition, the fact that, well, basically every European country, but Ireland in particular, is importing an army to go to war with the Irish and destroy the Irish. Let's watch clip 50 now. Clip 50.
And that's a picture of Ireland, the land we Irish know, love dearly. Well, what are all these dots? I'll tell you what they are. They're IPAS centres. Look at the locations. They're spread almost evenly all over the length and breadth of the land. And each of these IPAS centres houses between 50 to 60 fighting age young men. Some of them, a lot more than that. Many of these men come from war-torn parts of the world and have military experience, and some of the worst kinds of military experience. This is what they will unleash on we, the Irish, I believe, at some point. It looks to me as though they have imported an army and they have dispersed them all around us, so that when the time comes, they will make their play, and that will be the end of the Irish. Anyone?
When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't need You know, I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, no, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? You're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body, but that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes up. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or, you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, folks. Welcome back. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. AlexJonesLive.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com is how you support us. Got about 20 videos I want to get to in this segment, so let's just go ahead and get to them. This is a little tour of the continent of Europe. And a lot of videos have been going viral recently that are very, very similar to this with a similar sentiment to this. This was published by somebody, I believe, in Scotland or somewhere in the north of England. It says, honestly, can't go anywhere without seeing them. Let's watch clip number 30. So you see a nice, quiet, secluded cliff. And, the Indians are moving in. They're moving in. They're setting up shop. They're having picnics and throwing their trash in the water. It's just their culture. It's what they do. And they're bringing it to you because you've brought them in by the millions. And they have no reason to assimilate. And so they're not. And so it's destroying things. This was posted on X by Carl Bovis Nature, saying this is what entitlement looks like. There are nesting water birds on this pond in Hampstead Heath. There are also big no swimming signs, all being completely ignored. Pure selfishness. So let's go back and start it over. Is there audio? One of the few remaining quiet natural spaces in London, home to a swan family with cygnets only 12 days old, home to newly hatched chicks and ducklings, home to nesting birds. Not a swimming hole. So where do all these birds go? Some of the adult birds leave the pond, some even abandon their eggs. But the babies can't fly, some are taken by predators, having been left alone when parents flee. And what about the aquatic life in this shallow pond? When large numbers of people enter shallow water, sediment is turned up from the pond bed, aquatic plants are trampled or uprooted, water clarity decreases, oxygen levels can be disrupted, which can kill aquatic life. So that's just one example. We can go now to clip number 45. This was posted by an account called Around Liverpool. Interesting development. He says, I was told numerous stories about what happened yesterday at Crosby Beach. One being it was a group of Asian men, so they call Middle Easterners in UK, unfairly attacking teenage girls, some as young as 14. He says, I dismissed it as rumors and told people to watch out for racism, people unfairly targeting Asians and making up lies about them. But I've just been sent this. So now, unless there's a conspiracy to frame them, it's looking like this is, in fact, the case. The only other possibility is that this was two separate incidents, but either way, we can't live in peace with savages who do this on a public beach in front of families. I don't want to speculate, so I'm going to bite my tongue on this time, for this time being, in case I'm wrong. It has since been confirmed the teenage girls were attacked with a bladed item. The attacker has not been confirmed. Currently speaking to Echo, to the Echo, to figure out what's going on. So let's go ahead and watch this. It's a brief attack, but you can tell it's guys with some sort of weapon attacking girls in the UK on a. On a beach, I guess, in Liverpool. Okay, so there's the Asian men attacking the women. And we'll get back to the state of European women here in just a second. But first I want to go to clip number 45, because this is sort of the perfect... This is sort of... I wanted to go to... rather 53. This one was posted saying they've entered the Shire. Soon they'll be scouring the Shire. Remigration can't come fast enough. And this to me is like the perfect video of just like the incompatibility of these people with British life on the British countryside. It's like completely insane. So let's watch clip 53. They've entered the Shire. Soon they will be scouring it. Let's watch. Okay, so you've got these Middle Eastern men on a country road, starting up a barbecue behind a brick wall. And let's let it play as B-roll, because it says, you found this hidden countryside spot and never went back. What does that mean? Hidden countryside spot? It's literally just the country. They're parked on a road. You know, typically you hear like, oh, a hidden little spot. Like, there's a place in Austin. It's called the Secret Beach. And it used to actually be a secret. And it was a cool little beach where you could go and, you know, nobody really knew about it. And you could go swim on the river and not have a bunch of tourists there. Now it's on freaking Google Maps, Secret Beach. But that's what, you know, you go find a little spot. This is not a spot that they found. It's literally just someone else's land. It's just a brick wall on somebody else's ancestral land. And they've decided to park on the road to have a barbecue on this person's land. And they're like, look at this great spot we found. Look at this great secret country spot we've uncovered. It's like, it's literally just a spot you could park anywhere in the English countryside, set up a barbecue, and be like, look at this amazing little spot we found. It just blows my mind. That's just, this is just someone's country land, and they're just like having a barbecue on it, and they look around like, gee, I can't believe nobody figured this out yet. It's like, no, you're just trespassing. You're just on somebody else's property, and you don't care. And what do you think the place looked like when they left? Do you think they improved it? Do you think when they left, they fixed it up a little bit to show appreciation? Or do you think they left all of their trash on the ground and simply left? Really, you're lucky if the only thing that happens is the trash is left on the ground. We can go now to clip 36. This is, night out in the UK. Of course, we know they've gone through a lot of trouble to get rid of all of their weapons, except, of course, for the giant ceremonial knives the murderers get to carry around. Let's go ahead and clip 36 here, where you see the new UK, which has a bunch of people from Africa running around with shotguns shooting each other. Let's watch. There's the kid with the shotgun.
These people just shot the party.
You went to Hackney Step, and saxophones just kept on getting louder. It's not even summer yet. Man, don't need to slow down. Okay, so you now have black people running around the UK with shotguns, murdering people in broad daylight. Okay.
These people just shot the party.
So there you go. The modern world, isn't it beautiful? Let's go now to clip number 74. Because this is, you know, if you're lucky, they'll just leave trash. If you're not lucky, they will literally make your animals go extinct. So we just saw, you know, the big party in the pond that was supposed to be set aside for the water fowl to breed in. Here's an Irishman catching a bunch of non-Irish people emptying the rivers of fish. Let's watch.
Yeah, fuck that in. Fuck all that in, boys.
Yeah, so they just have like infinite amounts of fish. And I guess they just left it, 'cause this is Irish guys like fixing it and trying to put them back in. But they caught these guys just emptying out the rivers. Of course, they're doing it in Canada. They're doing it here. It's why their rivers are the most polluted in the entire world by a factor of 10. They don't come from a culture of respecting nature like this. It doesn't exist for them. Okay, so you got a bunch of Irish guys go and stop them from doing it, because the authorities sure as hell aren't. Let's go now to 77. We're jumping across the pond here, because it's not just Europe where this is happening. And again, this is all just from the last few days, right? All of these videos are from the last few days. I didn't go back and get the video of the guy dismantling the rock wall that went, you know, really viral recently. I mean, there's endless examples of this. Destroying the, you know, giant white cross in Wales that had been there for like 1,000 years. That was Jewish activists, actually, Jewish extremists that were there doing that. This is in America, and it is, you know, one of our national parks. And it's a bunch of the real Americans, the immigrants that built this country and love this country more than we do, apparently. Here they are defacing Cathedral Rock in Sedona. Let's watch clip number 77 here. So again, you get a bunch of foreigners, you know, finding this, ancient rock formation. And yeah, go ahead and carve your names into it. Go ahead and destroy it. Right? It's not like there's going to be more generations coming after you. Just consume it all right now, as quickly as humanly possible. Take the picture to share on your social media. So, again, the Park Service is like reaching out. Indian tourists accused of defacing Arizona's sacred Cathedral Rock. Yeah, well, they don't care. I don't know if you've understood this yet, but the fact is they just don't care and won't be made to care. So, why are they here? Let's go now to clip 31, because just like it's happening all over Europe and all over America, of course it's happening in Japan as well. Several Turkish migrant workers have been arrested in Japan for destroying a sacred mountain. They have a mountain, which again, is just like it's set aside. It's supposed to be a nature reserve. And the Turkish guys decided it was, you know, these stupid Japanese people don't even realize you can dump trash here. You could cover this whole mountain in refuse and trash and then leave it for the next person to come along to deal with. It's, you know, these stupid Japanese people don't understand. And if they're a sacred mountain, you can cover it in trash. Duh. Let's watch. Concrete and waste dumped illegally on Mount Akagi, one of Japan's famous 100 mountains. Five suspects being of Turkish Muslim descent. Same thing happening in England. We were arrested in Shibukawa City near Mount Agaki. They approximately dumped 3 tons and are suspected of having illegally dumped 3 tons of concrete and rubbish in this area. Five Turkish Muslim immigrant workers have been arrested in Japan after being caught illegally dumping 3 tons of waste and trash on Mount Akagi, one of Japan's 100 famous mountains. So literally everywhere in the world that civilization exists, in Western Europe, in Japan, anywhere else that, you know, lost in World War II, basically, is just being flooded with people from the third world who bring with them all of their practices and all of their cultures that have made the third world hellholes that nobody wants to live in, full of refuse and pollution and chaos and misery and violence. And they're bringing it to Europe at a industrial scale on purpose because they despise the European people and want to replace them with people that are more controllable. It's really not complicated at all. Let's go now to clip 37, and we're going to start talking about the main targets of all of this. And people misunderstood me. The other day, somebody posted a population chart showing Afghan migrants into Europe and showing that 90%+ of them are male and young, right? Fighting age males are the number one, by far, the number one demographic moving into Europe. And I responded, and people were saying, what explains this? The obvious explanation is white women is the prize, is the ultimate, most valuable thing on earth, white women. They want them. They want to get them. They want to come to Europe to seize them. Like, it's not complicated. People saw that and thought I was blaming white women for voting for it, which is also true. Not letting them off the hook. But no, one of the main motivations, like, let's go to clip 37 here. Or, I'm sorry. That is what I was asking for. But there's actually another one that I want to go to first. Because I think it explains the mindset of the people coming over. I thought I had this in order, but I want to start with this. 42, actually. I want to start with 42 here. Because this is the mindset of the people coming over. You don't need to hear it from me. I can, you know, recognize what's motivating these people and tell it to you, but let's hear it from themselves. This is just the mindset of the people coming here. And there are lots of interviews like this, lots of responses like this. This one is very typical of the people when asked, why are you coming to Europe? What do you think is here for you? Here's what they say.
Money and my free house. It's my dream.
So there you go. Who are you to stop him from his dream? The man's got dreams. It's to be given things for free. They're his. Let's watch it again, shall we?
I'm here for my money and my free house. It's my dream.
He's here for his money and his free house. Don't you know that everyone in Europe gets free money and free houses? Don't you understand that all the prosperity of Europe, all of the culture and the, you know, just incredible cities, it all just appeared here all of a sudden. It all just rained down on us like manna from heaven because we're white and white people just get things for free. It's not that it took work. It's not that the culture of the people brought about the prosperity because of the practices of the people. It just happened. We have things they don't. Nobody's fault. Nobody could. It's just unfair. It's just unfair. Europe was blessed with all of this stuff from on high. And now it's time that we share the blessings with everybody else. Obviously, how do you think he feels about white women too? Like, that's when I hear that, it's just like, I'm here for my stuff. I'm here for my house, my money, and my women. They're mine, and you're keeping them from me, and it's unfair, and you're hurting me by having these things that I don't have, and I want them, so they're mine. And we've seen, you know, we've shown other interviews where, like, the guy even tries talking to me, he's like, but people in Europe don't have houses, and people are like, no, look how nice everything they have is. I want that. Give it to me. I'm here for it. It's mine. That's the argument. That's, and for some godforsaken reason, Europe's going, yeah, makes sense. Here you go. It's yours. Have it. Have at it. The response to the result of this is imminently predictable. Let's go to clip 37 here. Two Africans wearing high visibility vests as if they're some sort of professional organization or, you know, doing something for the government, are just, again, harassing white women. Let's watch.
God, who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
Keep recording if you want.
Who are you?
That's cassette.
You're not even wearing proper uniform. You're telling me you're not TFL. You think you're security
I don't
guard.
Work for the TFL, yeah? Yeah.
I can't even talk to my family on my phone. Huh?
You're shouting. And raising your voice. There's little kids here.
Where's the little kids? Where's the little
you're
kids?
A tramp, you know.
Oh, you just hear that?
Yeah.
He called me
a
tramp. This is your professionalism.
I would kick her out on you. What do you want to do?
Yeah, just come out, please, yeah?
You're telling me you're going to kick me out?
Yeah.
You're going to kick me out?
Where's
your ID? You don't even have your ID on you. Now you want to kick me out?
Yeah.
Now you want to kick me out. Where's your ID? What's your name?
He doesn't have to give you his name.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, he doesn't.
All right, then who the hell is kicking me out? Who the hell is enforcing me to come out of the train?
You can clearly see our hives.
No, you're wearing no uniform. I don't see no uniform. I don't see no IDs. And you're telling, you're coming across to me, telling me
you're
a woman.
We heard you from the entrance shouting abuse.
Your entrance, you was walking from down there.
Mate, we walked from down there, that's how blind you are, you know
that? Well, I was talking to my family on the phone. What's wrong with me talking to my family
There's
on the phone?
There's nothing wrong talking to your family.
And you said there was
don't
kids.
Don't raise your voice, that's it.
Who are you to tell me not to raise my voice?
I mean, we can take it down, but like, this is what's happening in the UK. You've got random Afghans, random whoever, Somalis, God only knows who these people are, just putting on high visibility vests and just going and like ordering people around. What the hell? There's like, no, you have to leave. She's like, well, who are you? And there's like, you don't have to know. They've got hoods up. It's the middle of summer. It's a heat wave. They're dressed like it's the middle of winter. They got these high visibility vests. I mean, it's, what the hell is this? Just what the hell? I mean, they have patrols going around, you know, enforcing essentially Sharia law. And we don't even know what these guys' issue was, but kind of freaky, kind of scary. And you know, most women will just go along with. I mean, they're not going to stand up like that woman did. Two dudes in high visibility vests come up. You need to get out of here. They're just going to be like, okay, and leave. And who's going to defend him? Anybody that tries is going to get thrown in jail. Because they're going to say that you called him a racist name. That's just where we're at. In Brussels, a man began masturbating in full view of everyone in Forest Park, including a group of women. A woman then sprayed him with a water bottle and ran away before he threw his shoe at her. He reportedly told a witness when confronted, "She's half naked. I don't see why I shouldn't be able to masturbate." Another park goer who witnessed the entire scene told Sud Info, "I saw a guy in the distance staring at me very intently for several minutes, a really prolonged stare," she said. Another woman told the portal, "I saw this girl running towards him with a bottle of water and yelling at him, 'You're jerking off, I saw you get lost.' According to the witness, her friend then tried to defend the woman against the man. He threw a right hook straight into my friend's face with a ring. It split his temple open 3 centimeters. He was bleeding," one witness continued, "not a shred of shame or remorse." And we've got the video. Let's watch. This is in Brussels.
Pauvre, ta pote attaque un mec qui s'obéit sur toi.
Trying to enjoy a nice day in the park, and there's just this creepy foreign dude sitting in the shadows masturbating openly. Brave woman runs up and throws water. He decks her with his shoe. And then apparently after that, the man who was filming stood up and got decked by the guy who cut his face open with a punch. Okay. So again, just this is what European women are dealing with on a daily basis. Let's go now to clip number 43. This is two men following German teens home after flashing them. Let's watch. We just arrived in Bramberg. Have a quick look. There you see these mice. We walk on. Come on, just explain, she says. The people in the background of the video they're filming, we took pictures here at the water. They're right behind us on camera. They're walking behind us this entire time. We simply took pictures, and one of them pulled his pants down and his underpants. We saw his penis. What the F? Simply, he did not pull them up again. How disgusting. I'm sorry, but how disgusting. You can see I have breasts. Wow, what is that? He told us to cover up our breasts. So insane. So they're walking down the street, and there's these men following them after having exposed themselves. And they're basically like, well, you have a low cut shirt, so what do you expect? Like, this is the way, I mean, this is literally like how Islam works, is once it moves in, women either. You got to cover yourself up and have a man next to you for protection, or you get raped. Like, that's just how it works. And they're doing it so much in Europe now, like, they're not even trying to hide it. They're not doing it at night. This is a woman who was assaulted in broad daylight in Trieste, Italy. The whole neighborhood is neglected by the authorities. Again, this just happened in the middle of the day. This is brutal and you know, viewer discretion advised here. But women need to know, you know, what it looks like when leftists run your country. Let's watch. So he's holding her hands. He's straddling her and holding her hands down as she tries to fight. Now, I don't understand the person filming this and not doing anything, not yelling out. I imagine they called the cops, but obviously they're not arriving yet. And you see the woman crying. And I mean, you know, this happens, God only knows how many times every single day. And it's just brutal. And like, we just say these things as if it's just like a statistic. It's all very real. And then of course, you know, they like to, you know, have games with this. They like to, you know, have fun with this. You want to go on a quick jog as a European woman? Not if these people have anything to say about it. Let's watch. So you see a woman jogging. And this guy running next to her. I just know that. And I don't know, I find it kind of insidious. I mean, obviously they're just, you know, bothering these women and like kind of making a joke out of it. But it's just harassment at the end of the day. And it's like getting them used to it. It's like inculcating them to this idea because it's like, oh, we're just going up. We're like messing with them. We're just doing a video. Like, chill. It's fine. Because, you know, typically a guy comes running up to you while you're jogging and you're, you know, not wearing much. But it's Europe. You should be able to go jog around if you want. You got this guy coming up. And obviously the first reaction is going to be like, get the hell away from me. And it's like, whoa, chill. Like, you're the bad guy here. We're just having a little fun. You're going to be all racist against us. You're going to be all freak out against us. So it's like, you know, inculcating to where like then they look like the bad guys. But like, no, that's actually the proper response. You need to keep that up. But I don't know. I can't help but see sort of the psychological paradigm happening here of just like, oh, we're going to mess with you and mess with you. But it's just jokes. It's just joking. Just put your guard down. Why is your guard up so high? We're just fooling around. We're just messing with you. And you know what? You know, maybe one time we won't be messing with you. You know, maybe once you do put your guard down, you know, you'll remember why it was up in the first place. But it just seems insidious to me. And the fact that it's happening literally everywhere, all around Europe, at exactly the same time, it's all foreign men. And, you know, the obvious question is like, where are the European men to defend themselves? And the answer is, A, they've been chemically castrated. B, they were, you know, bred out of existence and killed following the world wars. And see, they will literally get arrested and thrown into prison if they try to stand up for their country or themselves or their wives or sisters. So Europe is being deliberately destroyed. America is being deliberately destroyed. Japan is being deliberately destroyed through mass migration from the third world. Not complicated. Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California,
You need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Thank you all very much, and thanks for that amazing and warm introduction. I'm honored to be here with you guys. I think this is a very noble cause and a great venue for all of us to come together for the opportunity to build unity around NVMe's wars, and in particular the one that we are spiraling towards closer and closer every day, which is a greater escalation in this war in Iran. We got some sort of good news last night. It seems like they're working towards a peace deal, and we've heard this before, so obviously, you know, we're all skeptical at this point. We're not 100% sure it's going to work out, but I personally believe that President Trump can see that we are in a very bad way because the results don't lie. Straits of Hormuz was open before. Now the Straits of Hormuz is shut down. The price of the pump is skyrocketing. There doesn't appear to be a military solution, because if there was, President Trump would simply execute the military solution. But as he's seen with all the different options he's kind of ran through, the military solution isn't going to work. And so now we're in a really tough position. I can get into some of the details in terms of the negotiating. However, I really don't see a clear-cut way out of this. And so I think it's really important rooms like this continue to gain momentum so the president can hear, number one, we reject this war. I think he understands that because... President twice basically won his way into the White House with a very anti-war message. And although it wasn't perfect in the first administration, he did keep us out of new wars. He made attempts to get our troops out of the Middle East. And so for him to make the mistakes that he's made to get us into this situation, I think he knows he needs a way out. And so the way that we build momentum and let him know that we want him to get out of this war, and as a matter of fact, we really don't care too much on the details. At this point, he can say that he's won. He does pretty much every time he talks about the Iran war. So I think as long as he knows, the vast majority of us say, right on, Mr. President, you took out their military, you killed a bunch of their leaders, bring on guys home, let's reset from there. Because all of the other options that we have just have us spiral further into this war. That's a big reason why I had to step away and resign. Number one, I morally couldn't stand by the war. I fought the war on terror for most of my adult life at 11 combat tours. I truly believed in what we were doing at the very, very beginning. I wanted to defend my country. I believed we had been attacked. I believed the line. Forgive me, I was 23 years old. I believed that there was weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and that we were going to go find some Al-Qaeda guys over there. It didn't take me very long to figure out, though, that we had been lied to. And I was deeply frustrated and angered at those in my government who knew better. But in particular, a lot of the combat veterans who had fought in our previous wars, who had fought in Vietnam, who were now part of the government in 2002, 2003, and they knew they were lying us into a war. Good men like Colin Powell, who knew better. Their legacy essentially was selling us and getting us into the Iraq war. And so I made a promise to myself in my 20s that I never knew I'd actually have to cash in at some point. I promised myself if I was ever in a position to prevent young men and young women from going into a needless war, that I would speak out, that I would do something. Fast forward 20 plus years, I found myself in that position. I found myself in President Trump's administration, was honored to be there, was leading the National Counterterrorism Center. It was a job I felt was very important because we knew of real terrorist threats that have only gotten worse because of this war. But I wanted to actually help President Trump deliver on his campaign promises. And watching a foreign government, watching the Israelis march right in and basically dictate terms to us and manipulate American intelligence, manipulate the media, manipulate those around President Trump to put us into this war, I knew that I had to leave. I knew I had to start speaking out because I couldn't stand by and watch more body bags come into Dilbert and have this. And I think it was important to get the truth out there because I personally, had I not been there at the executive branch level, I would believe the influence that the Israeli lobby has. Again, forgive me for my ignorance. I read all the books and I had seen it a little bit when I was in Special Forces and when I was in the CIA as an operations officer. But I didn't truly see the level of influence they had until I was actually working at the executive branch. And I know a lot of people in this room, I see Scott's here. Scott's been talking about this for decades, really. But I honestly, until I saw it firsthand, I didn't know actually how bad it truly is. I think if most Americans knew the extent of which the Israeli lobby...
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to the alexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster and now the new one's firing up and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just sea moss and shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it and get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com. We're going to be covering a pretty heavy story this segment. A man named Kerry Sharon was beaten by a radical leftist because of his Trump-themed house. And we knew the beating was brutal. I didn't realize how brutal it was. He has now passed away as a consequence of the injuries he received from NBC 7 San Diego. The man who was badly beaten outside of his President Trump-themed Escondido home last week has died, the victim's wife told NBC 7. Army veteran Kerry Sharon, 69, was hospitalized after suffering significant injuries on May 20th after being attacked outside his home near East Mission Avenue and Buchanan Street, according to the Escondido Police Department. Now, joining me to talk about this are Matt Baker and Luke Slywalker. Luke, you just published this video. Slywaker. Luke Slywaker. You published this video on your X. People can find it at Luke Slywaker. Luke Slywaker. Tell us what y'all found, and I know we have some exclusive video to show. It's not been shown on mainstream media. But how did you guys get involved with this? And I do want to go to your video, but if you can just set it up for us and let us know your involvement and sort of how all this broke down.
Sure. Real quick. First off, hey, Harrison, thanks for having us on. I'll have Luke explain because he actually started getting into this story. But I don't know if you guys have both clips. I did send Daria too. I told the producers I thought it might be more powerful if we were to play the media version versus the reality that we uncovered, because it's very short. It's like a 1 minute segment and it basically shows, how they have the access to the exact same video that we ended up getting access to the full video of, but they cut out the brutal part of it. And then at court, they don't show the face of the assailant and they actually show him just punching another guy that isn't even the victim at all. So wow. They totally downplay it. And then maybe then we could actually play the real deal. And then I'll just hand it over to Luke because he actually got the story going.
Well, yeah, I just had heard about this.
Let me just stop because we don't have that first video, but this is a big part of it, right? Is the fact that this is not being treated as a major story. It's hardly being covered in mainstream media at all. When it's covered by local news, as you point out, they cover up the brutal part of the attack. They don't show the real video, but they have the video, but they're not showing it. And they show him punching somebody else that isn't even the man who was murdered, Kerry Sharon. That's a big part of the story. I don't know if we have that original video, but, you know, I think people understand, like, this is being covered bare minimum. Look, this happened. It's a tragedy. Now we're moving on. We know that this is just the latest in a very, very long line and a trend even of leftist violence. These insane leftists attacking people because of their political motivations. Obviously, this was motivated by the fact that his house was decked out in, you know, a Trump-themed paraphernalia, right? So, Luke, I mean, let's start there. Can you confirm that that's why this happened? I mean, this wasn't just a crazy guy who attacked him for no reason. I mean, this was about his political, you know, pride in President Trump, right?
Well, there's all kinds of narratives going around on online. People are trying to claim it's a MAGA on MAGA thing. This gentleman who did the attack, his name was Thomas Caleb Butler. Okay. And he lived about five blocks away from him. Even in the court, it's being reported as a unprovoked attack. So the guy just kind of came out of nowhere while Kerry was out working on his truck. Or I've heard also that maybe he was hanging up a new flag or something. But yeah, this guy just came out of nowhere and just decked him. And when he hit the ground, started stomping on him, stomping on his face very violently. Put him in the ICU immediately on life support. And unfortunately, after I think it was about 4 days on life support, he passed away at home, or he passed away in ICU, which was a blessing because his wife, Maria, didn't want to have to make that decision. She wanted Jesus to make it for her, as she said repeatedly. So thankfully, she didn't have to pull the plug on him, but there was no chance of survival for him after what was done to him.
And I, personally, I think he was really dead at the point that he was, you know, when the paramedics show up, they start giving CPR and they can keep anybody alive for any period of time. He was on life support. Apparently he had to have brain surgery. Part of his brain had to be removed and put back in from all of the bludgeoning. So I honestly, I don't think he really would have survived at all if it wasn't for the life support. Like there was never an inkling that he was even going to survive. So really he was murdered on the spot and he was medically kept alive after that. And unfortunately there was, the miracle was that he let his pain go and Maria didn't have to make the decision, but unfortunately he did succumb. Yeah.
Well, and we're going to hear from, his wife here in the video that you guys shot. And I think we'll play the first 5 minutes or so and we'll hear, what Maria has to say. And then I want to go back to y'all. But, you know, the media that is covering this, at least in the early coverage, they weren't just downplaying the political stuff. They were outright denying it. I mean, they say, this is an article from the New York Post, right? So it became a national story, but they say that Butler, this guy who beat a man to death, they say Butler's friend said he liked the house. He lived down the block and he thought it was great. All of this patriotic stuff. So, I mean, they're not just like downplaying the political aspect. They're saying, no, it had nothing to do with that. Again, did you get any sense of the reality?
I feel like this is basically part of a knee jerk thing that it seems to be a planned bot attack on anything that ever happens. Basically, anytime there's a school shooting or anytime anybody gets shot, they say, oh, it was a Trump supporter. Like every single time, there's always this narrative. The bots come out and all the leftists just push it right off the bat, whether they believe it or not. It's like left wing Hasbro. They're just like, it was a Trump supporter and they voted for Trump. And then, the guy turned out he was actually a registered Democrat. And, in the video that we managed to get, there's some people, I believe I hear him call him a fascist. But other people hear him say faggot. I personally, to me, it makes more sense it sounds like something an Antifa would say. And then he just goes on to attack another passerby. And I mean, it just seems so out of character with something that somebody who was a Trump supporter and, you know, pro freedom of speech would have done. But Luke included believes he does not say fascist, but you tell
either
me
way,
when you
it's
hear
terrible.
It.
And it's also interesting that the mainstream reporters, you know, I've been out there quite a bit hanging out with Maria, keeping her company. We'd seen the reporting. So we figured out where the camera was that they had got the surveillance footage and we went to that house and just asked if they would give it to us. And they did. So we got it directly. And then we got to kind of, go through it on our own and it actually had audio, so we could hear what was being said as well as what was being shot. And we got to fill in the gaps of what they didn't show people.
And keep in mind, this, you know, this does look like a potato cam, but this is not a federal facility. This is like literally in a not a very expensive house
owned by some Latino Americans. They happen to have a small little camera on the outside of their house. And unfortunately, they have five cameras, and apparently their system records one room, the next room, the next room. So that's why you see the glitch. Supposedly, that is the actual feed with the breaks in it. But as you can see from the news footage, they don't show you even a blurred out version of the stomping or anything. I mean, all you need to do is see how high this guy lifts his knee up. I mean, I don't even think I could possibly lift my knee high. His knee almost comes to his chin before stomping down with one leg and then down with another leg. And he's screaming so loud that this tiny camera across the street can hear him in full volume. I mean, it's blood curdling, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disturbing.
And so, you know, what we're going to show you, I mean, this is exclusive. You guys got this footage and released it, and the other people have it, but they didn't release it. Like, that's what's kind of weird about this, is it's not like mm-hmm. you're the only ones with the video. The mainstream media has the video and is not showing it to try to cover it up. And, you know, Matt, you're exactly right that there's like this knee-jerk reaction, not only to say, oh, it was a Trump supporter. I mean, they said it about Charlie Kirk's killer. They said it about literally everybody. You're exactly right about that. But also just the, like, I think we can just assume it was because he was a Trump supporter. Like, you wouldn't have a left-wing activist who's out there, you know, doing leftist stuff all the time, how they define them stuff. They get attacked and beaten to death. Nobody would say, well, let's hold off on judgment. It's like, no, let's assume that this is what it was about until we have evidence to the contrary. Clearly, you know, this guy, went out of his way to show, you know, his pride in President Trump and America. He's got these big signs, never give up your guns, all this sort of stuff. You know, if he's called a fascist or whatever else.
Well, let's put it this way. If it was a Jewish temple or a mosque, I don't think anyone would be questioning if it was mosque on mosque, or if it was a giant rainbow house with rainbow and gay stuff all over it. They wouldn't be like, oh, it's probably some gay guy just hated other gay guys. It's like all of a sudden the narrative gets spun. But like I say, if you listen to the video, you might think something different. I personally think that they've hidden who he is. They've hidden all of his social media.
I went to the arraignment hearing, and they only allowed one camera in there. There were several local news agencies there that I spent some time getting to know all those reporters. But then we went in, and it was a pool camera, so they all got to use the same footage from the one camera. It was agreed that they would share that. But I thought it was really interesting that, you know, when they brought the guy in, or just before, the judge said, whatever footage you guys put out publicly, it has to be pixelated.
Hmm.
So they don't want the public to be able to see the face of this guy who did this horrible, horrible crime.
Which is
weird, because the mosque attack, they have all these guys' faces, even though it was the wrong person's face. It actually turned out one of these kids. They had their face plastered all over the place. Here in San Diego, there's a missing woman, and they have a guy on trial for murder, and they have his face all over everything all day long. They're not even questioning, even though there's actually no body. Here we have a body. We have a video of the guy. There's basically no question it's him. And they're like, well, we don't want to have people know who he is. It's like, why?
All of his social media was scrubbed. I have friends who are really good forensics guys, and they can't find anything on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's being protected.
Doesn't even work.
He's being protected by the media. He's being protected by the courts. And it's because they almost certainly recognize that this is absolutely politically motivated attack. And again, just the latest politically motivated attack, but maybe the most brutal we've seen. A man was beaten to death, and it's just horrifying. So let's go to this video. The full video is about 9 minutes long. We'll go to the first 5 minutes here to hear from the man's wife and actually see the video of the attack that no other media outlet will show you. They have it, but they won't show it to you. We think you deserve to see the truth. So, Luke, you posted this on X. People can find it by going to Luke Slywaker. That's Luke at Luke Slywaker. Army veteran Kerry Sharon succumbed to his major brain injuries last night after being attacked in his home, the Trump House, on Wednesday afternoon by his neighbor, Thomas Caleb Butler, age 33. And here's that exclusive footage and the interview with the man's widow. Let's watch.
Matt Baker here in Escondido with a very heavy heart. Sad to inform you that Kerry Sharon has passed away. His wife, Maria Sharon, is here. With the people, huge outpouring. I want to thank everybody that donated. We have a Give, Send, Go, and we've got 3,300 so far. The goal was 100,000. Just coming out here to make sure that the money goes to her, and met her in person. She's such a beautiful lady, and all the great patriots are out here, you know, and it's just really sad to imagine that the people can be this
this bloodthirsty. You know, you could get into an argument with someone. For it to turn to fisticuffs is one thing. To stomp people into the ground, to give them brain injuries, to make them die of bloody injuries out in front of their own home is just absolutely beyond anything that I can comprehend. So I can't help but feel like the media is covering this situation up, because the images we've seen of the perpetrator do not really appear to be what he looked like in court, and they are blurring out his face, and also the images of the actual attack have been hidden. Up until now, we did a little bit of digging, and we managed to get some of the footage taken from this security camera right here, which actually led to the arrest. And as you can see, this is the angle right here where the crime actually occurred in the fatal moment.
So that's after we already had him down and knocked out. Like,
did they even bother to look up the word fascist in the dictionary?
Yeah, we go like that.
I think
you
should
hear
be,
him
I think
too.
People should see it, don't you, Maria?
Nobody should be assaulted.
I think people should see it, don't you?
We'd like to include it in our report.
Nobody should be assaulted for their political beliefs.
We want them to see it.
I want the people to see it.
Yeah, okay.
The jury definitely.
The truth is the truth, and we can't have the mainstream media show.
The jury.
Because they're buttering it up. All they show is a picture of him punching around over here. They don't show that many.
I know.
They have.
So I'm here with Maria. Maria, I'm so sorry for your loss. It's just so horrible what's going on right now. Would you like to tell the people where we can go from here and what we should do and how we should process this and how to help you?
Right now it's very hard to process all the stuff, you know. I don't know. I think I live in two kinds of lines, because I say that's true or it's not, you know, because it's very hard, you know. I have a very painful in my heart, and I can believe that, you know. Right now I'm feeling bad for the mother, the kid do that, you know, because it's terrible. I ruined the life, you know,
yeah.
Because my husband don't deserve that. And right now I feeling nothing is true. I want my husband back with me and stay here every morning.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Take the flag and stay with me, because it's for a long time, stay together, you know, very, very good.
How long have you been with him?
I married for 19 years.
19 years?
Yeah, and I married two times. I married 1 week, and the next week renew my wedding. I said, no more, please. Another time in 1 week, you know, two weddings in 1 week.
You married him twice?
Yeah, one here and one in New York. And I say, I can't believe that.
Oh.
You know?
And so I want to put, we should make a poster of him out here. I'm sorry. That's fine. I'm
Look, this is very good, because the people do that shit is the sick people.
It is sick, evil, isn't it? Can you imagine what it is in someone's heart to actually not just get in a fight, but put someone in that situation? That's absolutely horrible. When did you find out that he had passed?
This kind of thing is very bad, and especially with the kids, because they promote the hate and the kids, you know, the fake media.
Yeah.
You know, with all shit, it's not true. You know, they don't tell the reality. You know, that's why when they ask me about the picture about my husband, it's very bad to put in there, but it's the truth. The people
wow.
Need
so,
to
so
know
this
the
is
truth.
A report, from Matt Baker and Luke Slywaker. Find it on Luke's X at Luke Slywaker. We only showed you about half of it, and it goes on. Really, tear jerking. And, you know, the obvious question is, you know, why are you guys the ones having to do it? I'm so glad you are. And it really is, you know, nice seeing so many people go out and, you know, show support for her and be there to surround her. You know, that's a nice consolation in all of this. And what you guys do is exactly why we love having you guys on and supporting you, because you're there on the ground providing this information for people who need to see it and they're not seeing it on local news. We actually have the local news report. But what we just saw there, that's what they should have been doing. They should have been making it a human story, telling about this woman who's lost her husband of 19 years, who herself is decked out head to toe in American flag with the Trump shirt. She's got a heavy accent, obviously. You know, she was likely born in a different country. I'm not sure what her, you know, when she.
Yeah, she said she was born in Mexico, and Spanish is her first language. So some people think, oh, is she out of it? But some of the interviews she does in Spanish. So she, English is not her first language. And it just goes to show, like, just because this guy's a Trump supporter, you know, he's not like, you know, some raving racist lunatic or whatever. Like, he obviously loves this lady and she's Mexican. And that, in fact, the neighbors who gave us the tape are also Mexican. So, and I asked them, we asked them, and they said, oh, no, we get along fine with them. So
it's funny. There's another house that's diagonal from them across the intersection that they live on. And it's all decked out in Trump and all American flag, Uncle Sam. It's like everywhere too. So it's not like they were the only ones in the neighborhood that were portraying themselves that way. But mm-hmm. another thing about the news media, especially here in San Diego, is it's becoming so homogenized. You know, they're all falling in under Newstar or Nextstar, whichever that company yeah. is. So we have NBC7, KUSI News, and now they're purchasing our CBS affiliate too.
And KUSI used to be local homies.
It was owned locally before it was purchased out by Nextstar. They would cover our stories back in the day, and we got to know several of the reporters and built great relationships with them. But now they're just like all the others.
Yeah, they've been bought out.
And let's.
But I don't know if it's possible. Is it? Would it be possible at some point, maybe in the back there, if they could just clip just the particular part? I know it's very small, but the part where he's actually stomping and what he says, because I think it's quite important. And like I said, well, there is an argument over it, but I find it, I think it's important. And regardless if he says fascist or faggot, either way, it's a hate crime, because either he's hating on a patriot or he's hating on someone basically calling them gay. So the idea that this isn't a hate crime or whatever, and just the blood curdling nature of his scream, I think it would bear to play that one more time, possibly after this.
Yeah, let's do that. But let's first go to the local news, just to compare and contrast. Because what we just saw from you, empathetic, centering the victim in all of this and trying to find the real story behind it and how it reflects, you know, the broader trends in our country. Like, that's a real news report. Here's how the local news showed everybody in San Diego what happened. Let's watch.
First matter is going to be the Thomas Caleb Butler matter. And
32-year-old Thomas Caleb Butler made his first appearance in the Vista County Courthouse since being arrested and charged with attempted murder in the Wednesday attack.
It was a single punch to the jaw. The victim then falls to the floor, and there are subsequent hits to the victim's head area.
The judge ordered us to hide Butler's face. Deputy District Attorney Ross Garcia says Butler faces 15 years in prison if convicted.
All right, not guilty plea is entered.
While Butler pled not guilty, he won't be able to bail out for now.
So bail is going to remain at no bail.
It's unclear at this moment if they knew each other. It did seem, and what I can say is that it was an unprovoked attack, certainly.
So there they show the footage. Same, obviously the same camera you guys have, but they show him punching the guy in the high visibility vest who was somebody else. I mean, that wasn't the guy who was killed. That was another guy who saw what was happening, came up, tried to intervene, and got punched by the attacker. But yeah, they're going along with the judge. We're not going to show the guy's face. They don't make a big deal out of it. I mean, just shameful stuff, guys.
And they don't show you just how horrific that assault is. It looks like there's two grown men who are just kind of getting into an argument. It's not a 69-year-old man unconscious, literally on a curb. I don't know if you had it in that one. I did actually. I clipped it up for you guys, sent you to this morning. I understand you're dealing with the new studio. But you can actually see his blood literally on the curb. I mean, he was actually curb stomped. And I think the chances of him falling over directly on the curb were pretty low. I almost think the guy might have dragged him in one of those clips when the camera was rotating around to the other cameras.
Yeah.
Because I just can't imagine the chances of him actually falling over right on the curb just to be completely curb stomped by someone who looks like they know what they're doing. I mean, it almost
He was a veteran. So, you know, clearly he'd had military training. He knows how to fight. And he attacked this 69-year-old man. If we can play that segment of the video again, let's go ahead and roll it. So here... Just absolutely brutal. Great job, guys. Stay with us. We'll be right back. when Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't need, you know, I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, no, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? And you're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body. But that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes them. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or, you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm joined by Luke Slywaker and Matt Baker, who are there on the ground getting the real story about the Trump supporter that was beaten to death outside of his home in Escondido. And just the way that this is being covered by the mainstream media and the way he's being protected by the courts. There's the image of the man who was killed, Kerry Sharon, the Trump House guy. And I mean, you can see, and I saw this image. I knew it was a bad beating. I didn't realize how bad it was. He has now passed away after 4 days on life support, but clearly, this was a vicious and brutal beating. What we're seeing here is the Give, Send, Go. Guys, how can people support Kerry, Sharon, and his family, and his wife, Maria, who's now alone because of this? Obviously, then go to this Give, Send, Go, and I encourage everybody to do that. What's the address of that Give, Send, Go?
Well, you can find it at the I just reposted it, so it's at the top of my page if anybody wants to go and give a generous donation or even a little bit. The community is doing a really great job of looking out for her. From what I understand, there's a funeral home that's stepped up that's going to cover all the expenses for the burial, and the I think the military is even offering support for the ceremony for his funeral. So I've heard of restaurants that are willing to feed her, you know, but she's not in a good financial situation. So anything that people can do to contribute and help her out, she is really a wonderful lady, and she would appreciate all the support that she can get. The community's been coming out, visiting her like nonstop at her home. I've been out there quite a bit, probably spent 8 or 10 hours at her house, you know, hanging out with her, and I'm planning to go back within the next day or two. So,
and it really,
money will help.
The silver lining of this obviously doesn't make it worth it or anything, you know, close, but the fact that there is this community that can show support, and, you know, there's been a lot of strife within the MAGA community recently, but at the end of the day, I don't think any of that matters. When something like this happens, you recognize, you know, it's all for one and one for all at this point. So it's really amazing to see you guys reach out and help. And of course, you know, we might have our differences with Trump, but what he represents, the America first ideal that obviously, Kerry Sharon, you know, identified with and expressed so powerfully, is really, that's, you know, something that we need to cling on to and not forget that at the end of the day, our enemies are so much worse by a factor of a million than anybody on our camp. Even if we disagree, there is that sense of community that shines through. And that's really a beautiful thing. Matt, were you about to say something?
Oh yeah. That's kind of what I was talking to you about in the break, is that, you know, I call it the Oreo pill because it's very dark on the outside, but there was a little brightness because seeing all of our old, you know, we've been in this Trump war basically for 10 years, and you know, in this last year, it's been pretty sour for some of us, including yourself, and Luke is not feeling it either with the wars and with this, you know, Epstein thing and just
massive spending,
getting rid of Massey. And but when we were out there, we did take the temperature, and a lot of people are kind of on our side, but it was beautiful to see that the America first, the American patriots, the very people that put Trump in office, you know, Alex Jones always talks about it, you know, that Trump rode in on our wave, not, we're not on his wave. And so the beauty is that underlying patriot family is still there and very strong. And it took something like this to really wake us up and shake us to see what really is important. And the infighting is not what it's all about, but we just need to stand together.
100%. Again, I just can't thank you guys enough for just like putting in the effort. People don't know. Nobody's paying these guys. Like, you know, no, you're not getting a salary for doing this. You're doing it on your off time when you have it. And you're really, you know, going above and beyond, not just what we see, but obviously, you know, you've been there helping to support Maria. So I encourage our entire audience, don't just give to the Give, Send, Go, which I absolutely think you should. Support Luke Slywaker, support Matt Baker, follow Luke on X at Luke Slywaker. That's LukeSlyWaker. And Matt Baker at slave_2_liberty. That's number 2. Follow these guys, support them, share their stuff around. We need more people doing stuff like this. We need to have our own people on the ground getting the story, getting the footage, because we know the media is covering it up. That's exactly what they did here. And of course, the Give, Send, Go, just search Kerry Sharon. That's K-E-R-R-Y. Sharon is S-H-E-R-O-N. Or search Trump House, or of course, find it at the top of Luke's X at Luke Slywaker on X. What advice would you have for people out there that, you know, want to do what you guys do, that want to get the story, that want to go viral, that want to expose something happening in their town? How did you guys get started? And what advice would you have for other, potential, you know, independent citizen journalists out there?
I would just say, you know, if you hear of a story happening in your neighborhood that you think might be compelling, get your camera out, get your iPhone out, go out there and shoot it. Talk to the people, talk to the neighbors, because the media is probably not going to be telling you an accurate story. They tend to drop the ball, seems like almost intentionally all the time. So it's on us. We're supposed to be doing our job. We can be the news now. We can fill in the gaps where they're not willing to do their job.
And what's crazy is there was hundreds of people there throughout the days, and yet not one person thought to say, where did this camera footage come from? And could we possibly get it ourselves? And all it took was that tiny little bit of effort in this particular situation to really reveal what they were hiding for some reason.
Yeah, they were more than happy to provide that footage to us. So,
And Maria, ask around. We specifically asked Maria too, because it was a kind of a disturbing footage. And she said specifically, you know, this is the truth and the people need to know the truth. So.
Well, we definitely appreciate it. And again, this should be a bigger story. I mean, you saw how they covered it. They want
Donald
this to be.
Donald Trump should come. Why doesn't Donald Trump at least mention it? I mean,
he should be matching these fundraisers. He's doubled his net worth.
He should be bringing Maria to the White House.
He died fighting for Trump, and it would be a giant win too.
Yeah.
This would be huge for him.
The PR would be through the roof for him.
Everybody's on the side of Maria.
To rehabilitate his ruined image, this would be a great thing for him to do.
Seriously, that could be a good goal. I mean, I know he's not on X, but, you know, get on X and retweet Luke's video and tag Trump, tag the White House, and just go, you know, where are you, Trump? We're literally getting killed out here. You know, what the hell?
As you can see, she's rocking the Trump stuff herself. She would love it. That would be the biggest honor for her. It would be so great to see that
happen. Her to meet him would make her whole life.
That is such a great idea, and obviously she deserves it. And obviously, it's tough out here. You know, whether you even, you know, support Trump still or not, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, if you're an American patriot, you're on the hit list for the left, and they will kill you. I mean, this isn't fun and games anymore. It's very real, and it's only getting more real, it seems, as the time goes on, because Trump in particular is not doing anything to stop it. So again, this is the video that the mainstream media has but is not showing you and will not show you. There are the actual stomps to the man's head. They'll show you it starting right here when he goes up and punches this other guy, but that's not the attack that we're talking about. Well, just incredible stuff, guys. Keep it up. You know, I don't know. It's just such a bummer of a story. It's hard to know. It's hard to get closure of this. Just like, you know, what more can we do? But you can go and you can donate to the Gibson Go. You can support these guys getting the information out there. You can hang your own flag outside of your own house. Just let people know, you know, people out there, the patriots out there aren't as alone as the media wants you to believe. Anything else, guys? Thank y'all so much for all this. And, It's a terrible story, but it's incredible that you guys were able to really outflank the mainstream media in this and get the truth out there. That's huge.
Well, thanks for having us on, Harrison. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks, brother. And I know you're going to start talking about AI. I think it's an interesting thing to everyone talking about the alien invasions. I think the chances of a fake AI takeover are way higher and a lot easier to do. Sorry to switch that, but it's a little segue. Thanks so much for having us on. I really do appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for all the love and all the people that went out there. And this isn't over. There's a big caravan going out there, and there's a memorial, and there's still time to go out and give her a hug. And she's such a beautiful person. She's so friendly and so loving. Anyway, thanks, Harrison.
Well, thank y'all. And yeah, it's just absolutely, it's tragic, but really it should be infuriating. Really, we shouldn't be like, you know, bowed down by this, like, oh my God, we're getting killed out here and nobody's helping. This needs to light a fire in your belly and, you know, let you know that it really is a war that we're fighting out there. Incredible stuff. Follow Luke at Luke Slywaker. Follow Matt at slave_2_liberty. And of course, go to Give, Send, Go and search Carrie Sharon. That's Sheron. And donate to his wife, Maria, who needs help right now. And get this to Trump. This is something that Trump needs to bring attention to. Again, not only because, I mean, for him personally, it would obviously be good for him to, you know, show support for people that are being beaten to death because they support him. Obviously, I think that would go without saying. But it's also because, like, we need attention to this. We need people in America to know what the left is like and the violence they're committing, and that it's not going to go unanswered, because we want to stop this from happening in the future. We need to draw attention to it now, and getting Trump to invite Maria to the White House would be a very effective way of getting this to the national attention of our fellow patriots. Just horrifying stuff. It really is. But yes, we are going to talk about AI now. The definitely number one threat to everything in the world right now is AI. Even the Pope acknowledges it. Before we do that, I do want to remind you that the massive buy one, get one sale for T3 iodine tincture and methylene blue tincture is on today and ends tonight. So go down to thealexjonesstore.com to get your T3 trifecta iodine tincture or your methylene blue tincture for buy one, get one free. Get one bottle at regular price. Get the second one absolutely free. You're also getting 40% off methylene blue gummies, Warcry smelling salts, and Ultra DNA Revival, 35% off the zeolite tincture, creatine powder, atomic defense, methylene red tincture, MK Ultra ultimate chill and energy, and 30% off the iodine tincture, methylene blue capsules, CMOS capsules and gummies, and the Shilajit capsules and gummies. So that's 30% off my favorite products, the Shilajit and the Iris CMOS. Go now, support us, keep us on the air, and telling the stories that the mainstream media refuses to touch. Let's talk about AI, shall we? Let's begin with clip number two. This is the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, head of the World Economic Forum, champion of the data centers across America, who was the man a few weeks ago who said that people are going to start attacking the data centers and that we need to treat this like terrorism, even though nobody had attacked them yet. They seem to know, which to me kind of means that they know what they're doing is bad. Like, when you know that people are going to fight you for doing what you're doing, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. But obviously, those types of arguments have never actually worked against people like old Larry Fink. Let's go to clip number two. CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, admits that they're already using your retirement funds to build the data centers. Let's watch.
If we could get more and more Americans to think about growing with the United States, we will have far than enough money to invest in this infrastructure. But as the governor was talking about, the need for electrons is growing every day. Some of these, you know, if we're going to be the leader in technology, which we are, if we are going to be the leader in AI, which we presently are, it's just going to require trillions of dollars of investments. And if we don't invest in it, China will be the global leader in this. And so to me, it's not whether. This is a must. And if you think about how that translates, it translates into a more dynamic economy. We need the United States economy to grow at over 2%. We need the U.S. economy to grow at 3%, especially with the growing deficits the federal government has. And so much of this money, not just the projects, is going to be coming from the private sector, from savings accounts, from pension accounts, from insurance companies, and on and on and on. The whole world is in need of improving the infrastructure.
So it's your retirement funds, it's your saving accounts. They've already been used. They've already been co-opted and poured into the system. So you're actually paying for the AI centers being built, whose only purpose could ever possibly be to enslave you. Let's go now to clip number six. Banking and development economist Richard Werner says the real reason we're seeing so many data centers being put up so quickly right now is because they're building the surveillance and digital currency network right in front of us. Let's watch.
We are so close to the scariest, most dystopian system. This is what the drive to build all these thousands of data centers is about, to micromanage the world's population through the new financial world order. AI is really about that. We're heading towards digital control systems where we have no more control over our liquid assets. It will be programmable, permission-based. So only what the central planners allow you to use your money for, at what time and place and location, will be permitted. And if you're in the wrong place, it's not going to work. And if you're buying the wrong book, it's not going to work. Your money won't work outside a certain zone, whether it's 15-minute prison zone or whatever it may be. It is the totalitarian dictator's dream come true.
It's just shocking that more people don't realize this, especially when to build the prison planet data center infrastructure is just so incredibly rapidly destroying the planet. It's like insane that the very same people that told us we have to, stop eating meat or driving cars because it's destroying the planet are now telling us we need 1,000 times more energy for these data centers, and nobody questions this. Nobody thinks this is kind of bizarre, kind of nonsensical, kind of means that there are definitely ulterior motives at play here and that we just shouldn't let it happen on that basis alone. Like, we don't even need to know what they're actually doing. We know that they're not doing what they say they're doing. So that's enough to say no to this. Absolutely no. And yet these things are being built anyway. Let's go to clip number 9 now. This is the, you know, massive center in Utah that they're building in, of course, total defiance of the will of the people that have to live there. Let's watch. Clip 9 here. Utah approves massive AI data center twice the size of Manhattan, 9 gigawatts of power and billions of gallons of water. Let's watch.
So, Utah has approved a data center so massive it's going to be more than twice the size of Manhattan. It's being built in the empty desert of northwestern Utah, near Snowville, close to the Idaho border. The project is called the Stratus Data Center, and it's being pushed by Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. But this isn't just one building. The full project could cover over 40,000 acres, an area bigger than Manhattan. That's around 62 square miles. For comparison, Manhattan is only about 22 square miles, meaning this AI complex could eventually take up nearly 3 times the space of Manhattan. And the power demand is even crazier. The site could eventually need up to 3 gigawatts of electricity, roughly the output of multiple nuclear reactors. Environmental groups warn it could raise Utah's planet heating pollution by nearly 50%. Estimates suggest the project's power systems could consume up to 16.6 billion gallons of water per year. That's enough water to fill around 25,000 Olympic swimming pools, all in one of the driest states in America.
And everywhere it's happening, the people around are experiencing the consequences. Meta built a huge data center in Georgia. Now the homes nearby don't have running water that they can drink. They're having power outages, and their house is continually shaking from the vibration of the data center. Let's go now to video of a woman just walking around showing her house that used to be fully functional. Let's watch.
This is my cold water pressure in the kitchen. This is where I fill up water for storage. Those are the things we have to fill up to flush the toilets.
So you can see the sediment from the data center. Wow, and that's just from the water coming out of your faucet.
Yeah, and this is what's in all the pipes.
Just the well itself is probably 20,000, and that's not counting any of the
all the replacement of the fixtures and faucets and toilets and the lines that come underneath the house. It's overwhelming because you really feel like you are up against this huge wall that you can't penetrate. There's nothing that you can do, and they don't care.
I'm here in Mansfield, Georgia, driving by Meta's new 2 million square foot data center facility. Facilities like this are being used to power things like ChatGPT and other AI tools that are becoming integrated into our daily life.
Data centers, going to be a very hot item.
This entire supercomputer is built to power Grok.
We see data centers as the most exciting asset class.
Meta is building a 2 gigawatt plus data center that is so large it would cover a significant part of Manhattan.
But data centers come with big costs, from light and noise pollution to the environmental impacts, to the potential rising costs of energy bills. These facilities put extraordinary demand on the power grid and require entirely new infrastructure.
Oh my God.
They should be responsible for that, not us.
Search the internet for profits that Meta has made, Amazon, Microsoft. They can afford to pay for their own generation.
We came to Georgia to ask 2 questions. What's the true cost of the AI revolution? And who should be paying for it? Your house is here, and the data center is right there.
It's less than 400 yards.
Beverly and Jeff Morris bought their home an hour's drive from downtown Atlanta in 2016. But their roots in the community run much deeper.
Being in the country has always just been my peace and my therapy. When we found this place, we decided that this was it. It was perfect.
I was actually raised probably 5 miles from here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You may have grown up there. You may have, poured your heart and soul into building a homestead for yourself. But, you know, Mark Zuckerberg wants to spy on you. So he's going to destroy all of that. You're going to have to pay for it. And Larry Fink's going to fund it through your retirement fund. So, again, we got to push back against this a lot stronger than we are now, because we don't have to wait to find out what these data centers are for. We know what they're for, and we know the ecological damage that they are doing. Let's go quickly to 64 here, clip 64. There is no water in the Rio Grande, you know, the name in Spanish meaning the large river. It has no water in it for the first time ever. Let's watch.
Folks, I'm currently standing in the Rio Grande River right now. This is what it looks like right here, all dirt. All dirt.
So there you go. Just totally empty. And of course, data centers are being built all up and down that. Like, I don't think people understand the ecological destruction that's happening. There's no river there anymore. This isn't a matter of like, well, you know, the fish will have to, you know, migrate somewhere. No. There's no water in the river anymore. You don't think that's a problem? Let's go to clip 52 here. 150 residents in Red Oak, Texas, packed their city hall meeting, spilling into hallways to protest. Despite this, their local officials stayed until after midnight, and they did in fact approve the new massive 830-acre data center campus in the middle of the night, despite everybody in town being against it. Apparently, there's some pressure wielded against the city council. Here's some citizens speaking out at Red Oak City Council. Let's watch.
We don't need another data center. You don't know what the health impact is. You got them all crunched together. You're going to have a mass exodus. You're going to ruin this community. You're going to ruin it. Ruin it if you let this continue.
Red Oak residents are furious after City Hall leaders after they approved an 830-acre data center overnight. The project proposed by Compass Data Centers will be the sixth data center campus in Red Oak. City officials presented possible benefits of the data center, including infrastructure and energy support, but dozens of residents were not convinced.
We're supposed to look out for the welfare of our people, and I feel like maybe they think they're doing what's correct, but they're not really pausing and paying attention to what their people are saying. So I'm going to fight for that, and I'm going to fight for our people.
So let's just clear that out of our vocabulary for all of time. All of these people know exactly what they're doing, okay? The people who are importing foreigners into Europe are doing it to destroy Europe. The people building the data centers in your town are doing it to destroy your small town and to build the digital infrastructure to destroy you and life as you know it on planet Earth forever. It's not an accident. The people doing it don't think they're doing what's best for the people underneath them. They're attacking them. I mean, this is literally like we keep getting slapped in the face. And every time we go, you know, maybe he thought I was being bitten by a mosquito. Maybe he thought I was somebody else. Maybe no, he's just slapping you in the face. Only in this case, they're stabbing us in the heart, and they just keep stabbing us literally and figuratively. And we keep going, you know, maybe they're trying their best, but no, you're under attack. They're trying to kill you. They're trying to kill your way of life. You have to fight back. They're not going to stop, no matter how nicely you ask them. You have to fight them. You have to win.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable. TK421. Cabling complete. No faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is.
feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated. Ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.